Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Harley Carnes. The Walter Reed Medical Center scandal claims another career. The Army Surgeon General, Lieutenant General Kevin Kiley, is retiring, forced out by Acting Secretary of the Army, Pete Guerin.
Failures by some, failures in our system, have tarnished the reputation of us all.
General Kiley was in the middle of this mess from the moment the first news story appeared. He had run Walter Reed during the years when the outpatient barracks were deteriorating and paperwork tangles kept wounded soldiers in limbo for months. At one congressional hearing last week, he was torn apart by Republican Bill Young, whose wife did volunteer work at Walter Reed and brought complaints about how the wounded soldiers were treated directly to Kiley.
CBS's Bob Fuss is in Washington. Not one, but three new CBS News, New York Times public opinion polls, long and short of two of them on Democrats and Republicans, is Democrats are pretty happy with their selection of potential presidential candidates. 57% say so. Republicans want more choices. 57% say that. In the third poll, CBS's poll director Kathleen Frankovic says most say wounded veterans are not getting the help they need.
Just 17% say the administration has done what could reasonably be expected. For Iraqi war vets, 76% believe that the administration has not done enough.
On the war in Iraq, 59% oppose it, fewer than opposed it in January or February. Most disapprove of the job the president's doing, but his approval is up 5 points. And on specific issues, including terrorism, the economy, foreign policy, and Iraq, the president's approval is up 3 to 7 points. President Bush visits Guatemala, stopped 4 out of 5 on his Latin American tour. CBS's Peter Mayer's traveling with
beyond the pomp of the official welcoming ceremony, there are shared concerns about the impact of Guatemalans illegally entering the U.S. With up to 10% of this country's population heading north, President Oscar Boucher spoke of the migrants.
And particularly, those who have been deported without clear justification.
President Bush said the two countries should be partners
to give Guatemalans a safe and legal path to jobs in the United States.
Part of the pitch for immigration reform that he'll continue at the next stop, Mexico. Peter Mayer, CBS News, with the president in Guatemala City.
In Weatherford, Texas, where a ferocious natural gas line fire burns, excellent news. All the workers have been accounted for. No fatalities, no injuries. The gas in the pipe will be allowed to burn itself out. A colony of fire ants will pretty much test your commitment to nonviolence, even if you're a Buddhist monk. You need to sit on just one red ant hole in the ground to be transformed. In Kuala Lumpur, monks admit it is a challenge how to get rid of the red ants in a temple in Malaysia without killing them. They tried a vacuum cleaner. Red ants scoff at mere suction. On Wall Street, the Dow gained about 42 points. NASDAQ picked up nearly 15. Oil prices, $58.91 a barrel, down $1.14. This is CBS News.
Hey, Ken. Picking up a prescription?
Yeah, my erosive acid reflux.
Me too. I take Protonix, pantoprazole sodium.
Does it work?
One Protonix tablet every morning helped control daytime, even nighttime acid reflux symptoms.
Nighttime symptoms too?
Yep. It even helped repair acid reflux damage, and I save on my Protonix prescription.
Think I could save on my copay?
Check your health plan. Hey, where are you going?
To call my doctor about Protonix.
Protonix copays are not less than generic drugs. Prescription Protonix heals acid-related erosions in the esophagus and relieves associated frequent and persistent heartburn. Most patients heal within 8 weeks. Your results may vary. Doctors may prescribe Protonix longer to maintain healing. Studies lasted 12 months. Other serious stomach conditions may still exist. In studies, the most common side effects were headache, diarrhea, and gas. Go to ProtonixSavings.com or call 888-5-REFLUX to learn more about Protonix, acid reflux disease, and savings. See our ad in the Saturday Evening Post. Ask your doctor if Protonix is right for you.
A new lawsuit claims some plastic baby bottles are dangerous to babies.
It's a product nearly everyone uses, so
everyone should be worried about it.
Attorney Robert Weiss says baby bottles contain a toxic chemical that can cause harm to infants who drink from them.
Our plaintiff is a young 5-year-old boy with abnormally developed sex glands that his doctors and scientists linked to bisphenol A.
He's suing 5 manufacturers, including Gerber and Playtex.
My goal and our goal at Rights for Americans is to get them to pull this product off the market.
The manufacturers had no immediate comment on the suit, but they say the products are on the market because they're safe. Howard Ehrenstein, CBS News, Washington.
China has a population problem. Too many dogs. You can't eat them all, so there's discussion on attacks on dogs in the cities to discourage their numbers and to fight rabies. Also, a proposal to limit homes to just one pet dog, or, as they're talking in Beijing, maybe just kill them. Rabies killed 2,000 people last year there. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Hey, this is your kid's MP3 player. That's right, I can talk. You ever check out what your kid's listening to? I mean, blogs and podcasts and stuff like that. People are talking about everything you can imagine out there, and a lot of times there's drugs involved. I heard this one cat say weed makes you smarter because it makes your brain bigger. Now, you don't want your kid listening to fools like that. Come on now. I'm just saying that maybe talk to your kid and check out what he's loading up. Let him know you care, and maybe he'll think twice about drugs.
Listening, the anti-drug. Learn more at theantidrug.com. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Hey, this is Michael Waltrip.
And I'm Sammy Hagar.
And we're here to tell you that when you stop by NAPA today, you can register for a chance to ride in my number 55 Toyota.
So, Michael, what you're saying is
I could ride in 55!
Exactly.
Stop by any participating NAPA Auto Parts store today and register for your chance to win a ride in the number 55 NAPA Toyota. See store for official sweepstakes rules and complete details. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. NAPA. Get the good stuff.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. We're on daylight time, are you? We've recalibrated our clocks, and just with a change of the time zones or time thing, we've got summertime here. It's 80 degrees, sunny, and aside from a few allergic reactions, it's fabulous here in the golden state of California today. We've got a lot to talk about on this program. We'll get right down to business. Coming up about a half hour away, Dave Lindorf returns. He's a journalist and co-author of the book, The Case for Impeachment. He's going to talk about what he calls Libbygate, the real story. Also on today's program, an hour from now, Ray McGovern served 25 plus years at the CIA. We'll get his reaction on the Libby case, and in particular, why Dick Cheney ought to be concerned. And we'll also talk about the debate in Washington over cutting off funds for the war in Iraq. Also on today's program, attorney Robert Weiss, who fights for individual citizens. Well, he's filed a class action suit against the manufacturers of poisonous baby bottles. They're made with plastic that contains a chemical called bisphenol A, and it's thought that that leads to conditions like ADHD, autism, and others. We'll find out more about that in our second hour today. And then, as usual, we take your phone calls in the free speech zone in our third and final hour. You can call before then, though, at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And during the free speech zone, I will share with you or report my personal comments on an event I attended in Southern California over the weekend. That's why I wasn't here on Friday, and you heard a recorded program. But it's an annual convention of the talk radio industry. And like so many things, it's not very balanced. It leans hard to the right. And it was quite an experience. I'll share some of that with you a little bit later on. Just to set up our first segment, I have the publication from this conference opened up to a full double-page ad for the Rush Limbaugh program. And their banner headline describes him as America's truth detector. And that passes at this kind of a convention without any second guessing, without even a hint of irony.
at this cocktail party thrown by Russia's syndication company on Friday. They served me a glow-in-the-dark drink called a Rush Tie. And then I asked the guy standing next to me, could I get an OxyContin chaser? And he either was totally unamused or had no idea what I was talking about. We're joined now by Paul Waldman, Senior Fellow at Media Matters for America. They're on the web at mediamatters.org. Welcome, Paul. How are you today?
I'm good, Peter. How are you?
Not too bad. We're doing okay here. I want to start off with the report that you authored for Media Matters that takes a look at balance in another part of the media, the Sunday morning talk shows on network television. And this is not the first study you've done, so you have some comparatives that you can offer. Are these shows fair and balanced, as Fox would want us to believe all their programming is?
No, they're not. And that goes for not just Fox News Sunday, their Sunday morning program, but also for Meet the Press and Face the Nation and ABC's This Week as well, although the latter, ABC, has actually gotten better of late. But we undertook this a while back to see if there was balance on these shows or not. All we wanted to do is to count up who gets to be on the shows, how many Democrats, how many Republicans, how many conservatives, how many progressives. And we've now accumulated 10 years of data, going all the way back to the start of the Bill Clinton's second term. And what we found is that over that entire period, the Republicans and the conservatives far outnumber the Democrats and the progressives. That was true back in the 90s, it's been true through all of George W. Bush's term. This new report, which I should say is called If It's Sunday, It's Still Conservative, many people who watch Tim Russert know that when he closes his program, he says, if it's Sunday, it's Meet the Press.
Right.
So we call our report, If It's Sunday, It's Conservative, and this new report, the second one is called If It's Sunday, It's Still Conservative. What we found, this one looks at the last 2 years specifically and what's happened since the election, since the Democrats took over in 2006. And what we found is over the last 2 years things have been really awful. The Republicans have, there have been more Republicans than Democrats, in some cases by a margin of about 2-1. Big leads in all the categories that we measured. More elected officials that are Republicans getting on, more solo interviews given to Republicans, more conservative journalists than progressive journalists, just across the board. Now, there were a couple of bright spots here and there. We were interested in what happened since the election because when we did a previous report on this, we sought comments from the networks to see what they would say about our results. And what they all said basically was that, it's just that way because the Republicans are in charge. And since they have the executive branch and they're in charge of Congress, that's why they get on more. And it's nothing we've tried to do intentionally, it's just that they're the important people, basically. So given that that was their rationale before, we think it's incumbent upon them, if that's how they're going to justify things, now that the Democrats are in charge of Congress, that they should be getting on more. So we sought to see in the first 4 months since the Democrats got elected, is that the case? Have they really changed? And the answer is not really. The one show that really did was ABC's This Week.
And how dramatic an improvement, Paul?
It was pretty dramatic in the case of ABC. They now actually are, at least in the last few months, have been offering their viewers a completely balanced presentation. It's kind of shocking, but there are as many Democrats as there are Republicans, and their discussion panels have actually been balanced, which is something that ABC didn't do for a long time. It used to be they had George Will on every week, and they would seldom have a progressive to counter him, but discussions tend to be more balanced on that show.
They'd have Cokie Roberts, and we were supposed to believe that she's some sort of a liberal.
Right, exactly, and that's something that you find in a lot of other forums, too, is that there's this assumption that a conservative can be countered by someone who is supposed to be an objective reporter.
Mm-hmm.
So ABC was the bright spot, but the other shows are not doing quite as well. Meet the Press and Face the Nation in particular, since the election, they've continued to have more conservatives on than progressives, more Republicans on than Democrats, and they're the ones who really need a lot of work done.
Mm-hmm. I want to just spout off here your work, and we'll just share some of the bullet points here with our listeners. Republicans and conservatives dramatically outnumber Democrats and progressives on the Sunday shows in 05 and 06, the margin 44-27%. Counting only elected officials and administration representatives, Republicans have a 62-37% advantage. Fox News Sunday's panels are the most lopsided. That's a shock. A majority of guest panels on ABC, NBC, and CBS were balanced or neutral. while a majority, nearly three times as many right-leaning panels as left-leaning ones were featured on those programs. Now, that is remarkable.
And as we say, you know, most of the panels on those shows tend to be balanced, but when they're imbalanced, when one side has the advantage, it's almost always the conservative side. You know, you never tune into Meet the Press, for instance, and see in their roundtable discussions, you know, two reporters from a progressive magazine and one reporter from a conservative magazine. What you're more likely to see is a couple of people who are sort of neutral people, like David Broder or John Harwood from the Wall Street Journal, and then they'll throw in someone like Cato Byrne from the National Review or Byron York from the National Review, or some conservative columnist, and you're left thinking, well, where's the progressive here? That's much more common, is that we see that discussion that features a couple of neutral people and then a conservative. We see that over and over. Of course, the exception is Fox, where you have on Fox, you have two or three conservatives, and then maybe one neutral person, and then maybe one, they have Juan Williams from NPR, who's more progressive as part of their regular roundtable, mm-hmm. but he's always outnumbered 2 or 3 to 1. So that idea that there might be a discussion skewed to the left almost never happens.
And the top dogs on the Sunday shows, Joe Biden got 38 appearances in 05 and 06, Condoleezza Rice 30, and John McCain 30. And you point out that most of the time, McCain is permitted to appear without competition.
Yeah, McCain is the top guest over the last 10 years. I think he has something on the order of close to 150 appearances over the last 10 years on the Sunday shows. And he is almost always interviewed alone. And that sends a certain kind of a signal. What it says is that person is so important that they don't really need to be balanced by someone from the other side. Someone who's a less important senator or someone who's considered by the shows to be less important, when they're interviewed, they're going to be put next to somebody from the other party. McCain, that doesn't happen. They consider him, I don't know, maybe it's because they consider him a maverick or something like that. When he gets on, he's by himself. Who knows, it may be that he insists on that, but obviously
that's most likely.
Shows can decide to consent to that or not.
Well, usually guests like that will say, here are my ground rules. And if you want John McCain, you often accept his ground rules.
That may be, and they certainly want him, because he gets on, as I said, over the last 10 years more than anybody. Over the last 2 years, he actually got beat out by Joe Biden, who is the most frequent Democratic guest. But McCain is a constant presence there, and that's really been, I think, one of the key building blocks of his national profile, is that he gets to go on these shows and get that privilege of a solo interview, and he's there so much. I should say, for people who maybe there are probably a lot of your viewers who don't really care that much about these programs, who don't watch them on Sunday morning, maybe they're making pancakes for their kids or whatever, their audiences are, relatively modest when you compare it to, say, American Idol. If you add up the shows together, they probably have around 12 million viewers. But it's a really key part of the media puzzle. Mm-hmm. It's the place where really the conventional wisdom is formed, and we learn who the important people are. It's a real privilege and an honor to get Tim Russert to interview you. And when certain kinds of people get systematically shut out, what that means is that the entire journalistic establishment doesn't take them as seriously. They look at people like John McCain and Condoleezza Rice and Joe Biden and those people who are invited on those shows, that they're the important people. They're the ones whose opinions need to be listened to. And the people who don't get invited, well, they don't really need to be considered as serious voices on whatever the issue is, whether it's national security or domestic policy or whatever. Mm-hmm. So they really do play a very important kind of agenda-setting role for the rest of the media, which watches those shows religiously.
And excerpts the clips and plays them on the Monday morning TV shows, where more people actually see it than will ever see it on Sunday. Let's take a break, and we'll return with Paul Waldman from Media Matters. Read all about it at mediamatters.org. The link's right at the top of the homepage right now to the analysis of the Sunday talk shows. Coming up next, we'll talk about Tom DeLay's new gig. Oh, God, I thought we were rid of him. And also the continuing fallout from Ann Coulter's bimbo eruption and her attacks on John Edwards, now being picked up by other parts of the right-wing media. That's next here on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant at Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's a Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. My guest is Paul Waldman from Media Matters for America. Visit their website, mediamatters.org. And, Paul, we spent a good deal of time last week talking about Ann Coulter's bimbo eruption at the Conservative Conference, CPAC, in Washington a week ago Friday. And the high point for us was Max Blumenthal from The Nation shot a video while he was there and had a kind of interesting encounter with Michelle Malkin, who declined to autograph a drawing he had of the Manzanar internment camp here in California that was linked, of course, to the book that she wrote, saying that the Japanese internment was okay with her back during World War II. And then there was an interesting sequence because the excerpted coverage of Ann Coulter's speech really just caught her inflammatory remarks. And at the end, there was a Q&A, and Blumenthal got to ask a question. And he asked her, he said, I enjoyed your book, really liked the part about defending marriage, and I wonder why you've been engaged three times but never actually made the trip all the way to the altar. And she responded in a sarcastic way saying, well, thank you for valuing my privacy. Well, then we followed that up with an interview with an actress named Lydia from Hollywood, who's been working on a book about Ann Coulter and had invited Ann to be interviewed for the book and sent her her home phone number. And Lydia's home phone number was up on Ann Coulter's website for over a year, which is a demonstration of how she values people's privacy. But what we're seeing now is that the comments that she made, particularly, you know, the reference to Senator John Edwards as some sort of a fag or faggot, seem to be taking on a life of their own in the right-wing media. The New York Sun published an article, Could John Edwards Become the First Woman President? And, of course, that gave Rush Limbaugh, America's Truth Detector, an opportunity to riff on that. Let's listen.
Try this headline. Ann Coulter, if you're out there listening, listen to this headline from the New York Sun today. Could John Edwards become the first woman president? It's by Josh Gerstein in the New York Sun. Toni Morrison famously dubbed President Clinton America's first black president with that barrier broken. Obama, you hear that? The first black president barrier has been broken. With that barrier broken, the comments of a prominent feminist are provoking debate about who may lay a similar claim to the title of America's first woman president. The candidate being touted as a torchbearer for women is not Mrs. Bill Clinton, but instead one of her former colleagues, John Edwards, the Breck girl.
Now, that's enough of that. So what they're doing is distorting some comments that have been made comparing Edwards and Hillary Clinton's positions on abortion rights. And abortion rights advocates have said that John Edwards is more of a feminist in this way than Hillary Rodham Clinton is. Now, that's a fair comment for them to make, but it's being badly twisted and distorted here, first by the New York Sun, and then for the pleasure of America's Truth Detector.
Yeah, and, you know, I have to say, I have been saying for months, every time I speak publicly about the 2008 election, one of the things I say is that I can tell you what the Republicans are going to say about the Democratic candidate if he is someone other than Hillary Clinton. They are going to say that he is weak and effeminate. Now, how did I know that? Did I know it because I'm Nostradamus? No. I know it because that has been the strategy of every Republican presidential campaign for the last 40 years. And it's most often pervaded by people like Rush Limbaugh, who are not exactly paragons of manhood. Now, no matter who the Democratic candidate is, this is always what they say, that he's weak, that he's effeminate, that he's a girly man, that he's that you know, they have intimations of homosexuality. Now, she's not, you know, Ann Coulter wasn't really trying to say that that John Edwards is actually gay, but she's trying to begin to paint this picture with the knowledge, by the way, that even though she says it in a crude way, it's then going to get picked up first by places like the New York Sun, which is a conservative newspaper. And then it'll get picked up by people like Maureen Dowd of the New York Times, who will make sort of snarky comments about John Edwards' hair, and we'll see it recycled over and over and over again. We saw this with John Kerry. You know, the Fox News made up a story that they put on their website about him getting a manicure. You know, yeah. It was just phony, but who cares?
Well, and all the French whispers in 04.
Right, exactly. They said he looks French. Yeah. They said this about Al Gore, that, you know, he had to hire a woman to teach him how to be a man because he had a Naomi Wolf, a prominent feminist, was working on his staff. They do this with every single Democratic candidate. Mm-hmm. It's what they do. They're kind of playing on the sort of anxious manhood of the conservative white male voter. Yeah. The argument is that guy, that Democratic candidate, he's a little bit light in the loafers, and if you vote for him, well, what does that say about you? Maybe you're not really a man either.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same
tune
that they play over and over.
Let me jump in for time concerns. I just want to mention that Tom DeLay has been hired by CNN, and just after we thought we could go no lower, I mean, I'm really stunned by that.
Well, actually, I have just read that it turns out CNN is now denying this. That's what DeLay told the Wall Street Journal, and as of just recently, CNN says they've not actually hired him, although they're bringing him on as a commentator all the time. You can see Tom DeLay on CNN pretty frequently. They don't mention that he's under indictment, though.
Paul Waldman, thank you very much. I'm Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid Karma Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid Karma Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Karma Shell at Rio Road and Mid Karma Valley Valero. Putting the service back in service stations.
For over 30 years, I have been helping people restore their skin's natural beauty. This is Claudie Assalit of Claudie Skincare Studio in Carmel. I bring a certain je ne sais quoi as well as 3 decades of experience in top spas and salons. Claudie Skincare Studio features a selection of the finest products, and I am always training to stay at the cutting edge of skincare technology. At Claudie Skincare Studio, we specialize in healing facials, peels, Reiki, waxing, lash tinting, as well as nutritional advice to ensure your skin vibrancy and good health. To set up an appointment, call me Claudie Assalit at 625-4101. That is 625-4101. Smooth, soft, beautiful skin can be yours. Call 625-4101. A bientôt.
Hi, this is Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview authors, chefs, winemakers, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
There was this man who almost learned to walk at a rehab center that almost got built by people who almost gave. Almost gave. How good is almost giving? About as good as almost walking. As generous a nation as we are, sometimes instead of giving, we almost give. Don't almost give. Give. Visit our website at don'talmostgive.org. A message from the Ad Council.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything's a taste you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a bill of fare. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey. PG.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Hey, and how about it? They finally got the Godfather of Soul into the ground.
Freeze! 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 Freeze!
Yeah, Please bury me, please. I mean, I've been dead since Christmas. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 34 minutes after the hour. Thank you for joining us. And tomorrow at this time, special note for our North Bay listeners, Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt County, including the fabulous community of Trinidad, your congressperson, Mike Thompson, is going to be on with us tomorrow, 3:30 to 4 o'clock Pacific time. And I want you to call in and talk with him. I know that there are many listeners who appreciate that he voted against the war initially, and you're a little bit confused by his current position on exactly how to get the troops out of Iraq and end American involvement there. And as a Blue Dog Democrat, some of these questions are quite appropriate. So we'll be airing that out tomorrow at this time, 3:30 to 4 o'clock, and especially want to invite our North Bay listeners, including those of you who spent time sitting in his office and calling his office, to join us, listen, and call in if you like. Also, I want to welcome Katrina Rill to the Peter B. Collins Show today. It's her official first day as producer. As you may know, Matt Renner, who helped us kick off the show a year and a half ago, has moved on to a new job at truthout.org, and he is very happy in his new position. You should be looking for his byline there on a regular basis. And Katrina is a very talented producer with a master's degree in journalism from the University of California at Berkeley. We have worked together in the past, and I'm just thrilled to have her back on my team. So when you call the program, be really nice to our new producer, Katrina Rill, when she answers the phone at 888-5-PETER-B. Dave Lindorf returns to our program. He's a journalist, activist, and co-author of the book, The Case for Impeachment. Dave, how are you doing today?
Good. Thanks for having me on, Peter.
Well, thank you for what you do, and I appreciate your work, and you have an interesting perspective that I always find worth putting on the air. So I'm glad you're with us. Tell me a little bit about your reaction to the Libby verdict last week, and more importantly, to the comments that Patrick Fitzgerald made in his post-conviction news conference saying, hey, I'm done, I'm going back to Chicago, and, you know, got to get back for opening day for the Cubs and the Sox.
Well, hopefully he, since he didn't quite say that, he may have something up his sleeve still. I made the observation that he actually said that the investigation was inactive, which is a little different from saying it's over.
Yeah.
But that's really grasping at straws, I think.
Well, he says it's been inactive for a while.
Yeah, I know.
I find that very troubling because I thought that this was the first step, that Libby was the case that would, you know, open some files, maybe even open some mouths as people raced to defend themselves. But for Patrick Fitzgerald to unilaterally disarm at this stage really sends an ollie-ollie income free to people like Karl Rove, Dick Cheney, and others who participated in the smearing and outing of Wilson and his wife.
That's right. The thing I wanted to highlight to people was that what really has been missed, and Fitzgerald was onto it at first, and I don't know why he didn't go with it, but is the underlying reason that this whole Libby thing happened, and that is the Niger document forgeries. They hardly get mentioned even in the news reports on
mm-hmm.
this case.
Yeah.
And that's what it was really all about, because if you look at the issue, it was that Wilson published this article in this opinion piece in the Times saying that he had gone to Niger and found nothing nothing at all to the claim that Hussein had tried to buy uranium ore from that country in the middle of the Sahara. But for that to have the administration go bananas and, you know, attack this retired minor State Department official, and to do it in such a way that it destroyed a network of contacts linked to a CIA agent who was responsible for monitoring nuclear proliferation in the Middle East.
Yes, her front company, Brewster Jennings, in particular.
Yeah, I mean, it isn't really first of all, it isn't that Plaim was outed. That was the least of the problem. The problem is that once Plaim was outed, that anyone who was a contact of hers through the Middle East, and particularly in Iran, was exposed too. And so that whole network was destroyed, and it's left us blind in Iran, blind in, you know, other countries that she was responsible for monitoring on the specific issue that the administration claims it's so worried about, nuclear proliferation and weapons of mass destruction. So this was really a criminal act on a very large scale, which we don't even hear about. It's always about, you know, the outing of Valerie Plame and the destruction of her career. Well, you know, we can live with that, but not with the destruction of her sources who, you know, were, they're actually at physical risk because they were outed, but even, you know, from a cynical, selfish view, even beyond that, they're lost to the United States as sources.
But, Dave, you apparently have not been listening to the corporate media and the right-wing talking points.
I'm sorry.
There was no underlying crime. She was not covert. She was working.
This is just complete and utter bull.
She was working at Langley. How can you be covert if you're working at Langley? They asked.
Yeah, right. Well, that and she and 1,000 other people that work at Langley. This is just such garbage. First of all, the first thing that happened when she was outed was that the CIA immediately initiated a damage assessment. They don't do that, you know, unless you're covert.
Well, and let's underscore that point, because many people think that Patrick Fitzgerald is some renegade Democrat who is, you know, trying to politically embarrass the Republicans. They try to boil this whole thing down to a political show trial. It originated with a referral from the Central Intelligence Agency. And sure, maybe they had a grudge with the White House on other issues, the pre-war intelligence being made the fall guy, George Tenet's slam dunk remark, any one of those things. But this did not come out of some sort of effort by the Democrats to embarrass the White House. It came out of an earnest concern on the part of the agency that they were at risk of further leaks that could damage their efforts. That's where this came from.
Republican, and most people thought that the jig was in, that the deal had been cut when he was assigned to the case.
Mm-hmm.
He turned out to do, you know, a good job of prosecuting Libby. The question is, you know, why he didn't go further and investigate the Niger documents that underlay this thing. And that, you know, that, if I may, I'd like to explain to people what that's about, because nobody really has, in the U.S., no major corporate media outlet has investigated or reported on the Niger documents.
Dave, you may. Go right ahead.
Well, okay, we have to go back to 2001, January. There was a burglary, a very strange burglary in Rome of the Niger embassy. Remember, Niger is one of the poorest countries in Africa. It's mm-hmm. a landlocked nation in the middle of the Sahara Desert. And its only claim to fame is that it has uranium mines run by the French and mostly used for their nuclear power plants. And so the only thing stolen from this embassy robbery were letterhead stationery and official government stamps. Very strange robbery. Because, you know, why would you want stationery from a country like Niger? You know, if it was the French embassy, you could get yourself a, you know, maybe a pass to Cannes with a great letterhead. But
right.
What do you get from Niger? No. So no offense to Niger, but... they don't have great film festivals. So you know, there's this burglary, and when there was an arrest, the police caught the cleaning lady and a former Italian intelligence agent from SISME, their CIA.
Mm-hmm.
And that should raise eyebrows, because the Italian intelligence agency is just an extension of our intelligence agency. And so that was a strange burglary, and the stuff that was stolen was strange. Where does this stationery and stamps surface next? Well, that's really strange, because they surface in the form of these supposed receipts in a deal between Saddam Hussein and the mining officials of Niger for 400 tons of uranium ore called yellowcake. There's another eyebrow raiser, because when you're doing an illegal deal to buy 400 tons of a proscribed document that's not a material that's not supposed to be sold to a country that's under severe sanctions to prevent just this kind of a deal, do you need a written receipt? You know, it's like going to a drug dealer to buy heroin and saying, could I get a cash receipt for that, please? You know, I mean, this should also make us question the handiness of these receipts being made out. So, and then it turns out that the person who delivers these stolen, these, you know, forged and stolen documents is none other than Italian right-wing Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi during a sympathy visit to Bush in October 2001. And so he delivers these documents that appear to be these receipts. And you would think, since we know that Bush was gunning for Iraq from the minute the buildings fell down, according to Richard Clark.
Correct.
That if Berlusconi walks in with these receipts for the yellow cake, that we would have seen them splayed all over Fox TV that night, but we didn't. And the reason we didn't was because they were such blatant and embarrassing forgeries. They had signatures on them from officials who hadn't worked for years in the mines, mining office at Niger. So it was just a bad forgery. And so we didn't hear anything about them. But now you got to jump ahead to December of 2001. There was a very strange meeting in Rome. And this involved Michael Ledeen, who people may recall as one of the architects of that Baroque deal called Irangate.
Iran-Contra.
Iran-Contra, you know, where they sold 600 Stinger missiles to Iran in return for what apparently was the deal that Reagan cut with the American hostages to have Iran hold. This was like the payback for Iran
the
holding
October
back
surprise.
And releasing the American embassy hostages. And then, of course, the second part of that deal was to take the money for that they got for these 600 Stinger missiles, suitable for shooting down airliners, by the way, and using it to fund the Contras attacking the Sandinistas, who Congress had barred the Reagan administration from supporting. So the man who dreamed up this wacky scheme was Michael Ledeen, among others. And here he is at this meeting again, along with Larry Franklin, who is who was one of the people at the Office of Special Plans, that sort of fake intelligence outfit set up under Rumsfeld in the Pentagon to gin up fake evidence to justify going to war with Iraq. So Larry Franklin, who later, by the way, pleaded guilty to passing secret information, military information
to Israel,
APAC, the pro-Israel lobby in Washington. So he's pleaded guilty to that. Well, anyway, he's at that meeting along with a couple other guys from Office of Special Plans. Also, Chalabi, you know, the guy that the CIA set up with that dummy government in waiting, the Iraq National Congress.
Sure, and he's still around.
He's at the meeting, as well as this guy Gorbanifar, the Iranian arms merchant, who also was involved in Iran-Contra.
Correct.
And finally, at this meeting, are the heads of Italian intelligence and Italian defense. Quite a meeting. And I don't know what they ate, but anyway, they decided on, according to Italian investigative reporters who were doing the work that American investigative reporters didn't do, and who had access to the to an Italian parliamentary investigation into this whole issue and this meeting, it was at this meeting that the scheme was developed to recycle these forged Niger documents through British intelligence so they could come back clean as new evidence presented to the United States. And that's the thing that Bush referred to in his 2003 State of the Union address when he claimed that we have new evidence from British intelligence that Saddam Hussein has tried to buy large amounts of uranium from an African nation.
Dave, we need to take a break. We'll pick up there as we continue. Dave Lindorf is our guest. His most recent book he co-authored with Barbara Olshansky, The Case for Impeachment. We'll continue with his analysis of Libbygate and the real story. You can join us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I remain your humble host, Peter B. Collins. You're listening to KRXA 540.
It-
It's tax time again. And there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund as soon as you need it. In 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, the choice is yours. The personnel at Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax return tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today, located at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just 2 blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to take a copy of your 2005 federal and California returns and W-2 1099 info for 2006. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today at 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Rapp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
People are talking about the show. Weekday mornings 9 to 10 on KRXA 540. Does it really suck less?
You guys are, in many ways, so self-referential that it doesn't let a guy like me feel like he can be part of the conversation.
We try not to be too self-referential, and we'll try to catch ourselves. I appreciate your call.
I wish I knew what that meant.
I wish I knew what that meant. Okay. But you're sucking less than you used to. Down in Monterey.
Vote means that our investigation turned up nothing.
Could somebody testify flying before a grand jury doesn't mean he's involved.
And it's flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men are three women can win.
Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis. I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you've retired, you don't have anything to worry about. Probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. You've got to catapult the propaganda.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. And with Scooter Libby's problem,
amnesia.
I just can't remember what I didn't forget to remember to remind Cheney about who told me about We continue with Dave Lindorf. A piece he published last week at commondreams.org, perhaps elsewhere on the web, is called LibbyGate. Now let's get to the real story. And we're joined by John in Carmel Valley. John, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I just want to point out, as I have other times, the biggest provocateur I can think of terrorism, particularly in Iraq, is George Bush himself, because I think it was this past spring, he said that we would all have to wait until the next president for any action getting out, because he wasn't going to get out of Iraq.
Right.
Never mind that he got us in there. Never mind that the occupation is the problem. We're not getting out, so that must have been the biggest message to all the terrorists, and that must have been on Al Jazeera and all the other wavelengths that are going out to possible terrorists that, my gosh, it's true, we're staying there. And then he said it since. He didn't just say it then. I think it was in Columbus, Ohio, at a press conference where he first broadly enunciated it, but he said it since, and it just doesn't seem that he's ever really been taken to task for that. He must have been, but I haven't encountered it.
Yeah. Dave, do you have a comment?
I'm not sure what the question is.
Well, John, restate then.
George Bush said last spring in Columbus, Ohio, at a press conference, he said, You're all going to have to wait until I'm out of office, meaning, I guess, January 20th, 2009. You're going to have to wait till then to get out of Iraq. Because never mind, he didn't say this, but he inferred it, never mind that I was the big one to get us in there, you're just simply not going to get any action from me to get us out of there. We're staying as long as I'm president. Wasn't that the biggest word any terrorist could have had? That we're not getting out of there, we're staying, and that's why there's so much opposition in Iraq to our being there.
Well, I think they realize that we're going to leave sooner or later. And, for example, we're seeing now as we go in with a kind of search-and-destroy mission in Sadr City that Muqtada al-Sadr appears to have told his people to melt away.
Yeah, that's what guerrillas always do.
I think
don't stand and fight.
Whether we leave in a year or 5 years, they will certainly close ranks and consolidate and fight for the future of that country whenever we do depart.
Well, I have a question. This is almost more important than that point because I'm in the dark. I can't figure out why the Republicans decided to blast John Edwards with this gay stuff. Where is that coming from? Did he ever give them any ammunition in that department?
There's nothing I know about. It is just a smear. And as we were discussing with Paul Waldman about a half hour ago, it appears to be part of their character assassination, where they simply try to, you know, raise questions about the manliness of various Democrats. And we saw it with the effort to paint John Kerry as effete with the windsurf commercial and the whispers about his being French. Or having French influences, that sort of thing. It seems crazy to us, but I think, as Bush would say, it resonates with right-wingers.
Right. I think on the, basically on the issue of the war, though, that it's clear that this administration has no intention of getting out of Iraq. I mean, they talk about a surge, and now the surge turns out to be, they're talking about it lasting at least a year, and now before they've even put two of the brigades fully into Baghdad, Bush is talking about adding another 8,000 troops. So it's really just a question of more escalation. And I think, you know, probably one of the few honest statements out of George Bush was that the war is going to be continuing until the end of his presidency. The real issue, I think, is whether the Democrats have sufficient spine and courage to make sure that it doesn't become the Democratic War, because their inability to stop it and they're basically buying into the surge by refusing to stop it is soon going to make it a Democratic War.
Yeah. Dave, in your piece, you very explicitly state that you think that Bush and Cheney, the president and vice president, are equally culpable. I don't disagree, but explain why.
Well, we had evidence at the trial that, actually, in Cheney's handwriting, that Bush was involved in at least the cover-up of the outing of Valerie Plame.
Mm-hmm.
So that's at a minimum. We know that the actual Niger document issue was involved Bush. I mean, he knew that the documents were fake when he lied about them at the State of the Union address, but
right.
He'd already seen them in October 01, as I explained, and he knew that it was the same evidence. So that was a fraud he perpetrated on Congress and the American people. These are impeachable acts, and they at least are lying to the American people, which is grounds for impeachment. It was one of the articles of impeachment against Richard Nixon, voted for by Republicans and Democrats, I might add.
All right, let's jump in here and take a call from Richard in Santa Cruz. Hi, Richard. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Dave Lindorf.
Yes, good afternoon, Peter and David. Always been my consensus that the Niger documents are really where the bodies are buried.
Yep.
And I was wondering, where are those documents today?
You can find them on in the appendix of my book. We printed them.
Because this Belagosi, Gossi, is that correct?
Berlusconi.
Anyway, I'm sure there's somebody in Asia first time. Berlusconi, yeah.
Yeah, Silvio Berlusconi.
I'm sure there's somebody in that administration that would, if the money was there, they would come forward with the information, because there has to be a few people involved in this.
Well pick up the book, The Case for Impeachment, Richard. It's co-authored by Dave Lindorf. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, the documents are in there to look at and scrutinize. I mean, the amazing thing is that this was investigated by the Italian Parliament, and so they have the goods. That's why the Italian journal La Repubblica was able to investigate this so effectively and come up. I mean, you should really read those stories. I think they were published in translation on Raw Story.
Mm-hmm. All right, Dave, we're going to have to wrap up here, but thanks for your thoughts. And I want to recommend the book, The Case for Impeachment, Dave Lindorf and Barbara Olshansky. This is the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
It's time to start talking about the 2008 presidential elections. Here, Monday nights between 10 and 11 p.m. with your host, me, Todd Hurlbert, Alan Vasquez, and our show, The Week in Politics. We will talk about and talk with the Democratic and Republican candidates for the presidential election. Please join us in our effort to educate our audience about the issues. See you there.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. The Army Surgeon General is out.
Many people, I think, would say that he, more than any other official, was responsible for conditions at Walter Reed.
Promoting free trade and democracy in Guatemala.
We both believe good governments must be accountable to the people they serve, subject to the rule of law.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. The general in charge of Walter Reed Army Medical Center was relieved of command. The Secretary of the Army was fired. And now, Army Surgeon General Kevin Kiley has been forced into retirement. Kiley was the man in charge of health care for wounded troops. At first, he disputed reports of substandard care. But at a recent congressional hearing, Kiley changed his tune.
I offer my apologies to the soldiers, the families, the civilian and military leadership of the Army and the Department of Defense, and to the nation.
Still, as problems at Walter Reed and other military hospitals became widely known, CBS News correspondent David Martin says Kiley seemed tone-deaf.
When it was pointed out that as Surgeon General, he lived in a house at Walter Reed that was right across the street from the infamous building where mouse droppings and mold were found in the rooms housing outpatients, he said, I don't do barracks. In other words, he doesn't do barracks inspections.
A new study finds that nearly a third of soldiers seeking government health care after returning from Iraq and Afghanistan are diagnosed with a mental problem. Say there needs to be more emphasis on the psychological wounds of war. The American public is angry and disappointed about the treatment of the troops.
Just 17% say the administration has done what could reasonably be expected. For Iraqi war vets, 76% believe that the administration has not done enough.
Director of Surveys Kathleen Frankovic with the results of a CBS News New York Times poll. Now this.
And now for the bonus round. What's the inverse of January 12th?
September 22nd, 9 p.m. Eastern.
Correct. What's next in this sequence? Sequoia? Hummingbird?
Pantalones.
Correct. How many movies has Netflix delivered so far?
Over 1 billion.
Correct. Netflix. Over 1 billion movies delivered so far. Zero late fees. Choose movies online and get DVDs delivered to your door in about one business day. Start your free trial. Plans now from only $4.99 a month. Netflix. It's that easy.
Nice shot! Time out!
Basketball's fun, but I need a cold drink.
My mom's making rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Ovaltine?
Let's go!
I guess the kids will be home soon. Let's make rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Come on! Sarah's mom's making
rich chocolate Ovaltine.
All right!
My kids love Ovaltine's rich chocolate taste.
And I love all those vitamins and minerals that you won't find in Nesquik powder.
we're back.
Who wants Ovaltine?
We do.
We better make more.
More Ovaltine, please.
Guatemala turned out to be a colorful stop on President Bush's Latin America tour. I'm Peter Mayer in Guatemala City. With ancient Mayan pyramid ruins as a backdrop, a marimba band played the Stars and Stripes Forever. But some Mayans said the place would be cleansed because the president carried bad spirits. Responding to the perception of U.S. neglect, the president toured projects that have received U.S. help, loading lettuce at a farm co-op. Later, at the official welcoming ceremony, the president spoke of finding a safe and legal path for Guatemalans seeking U.S. jobs. Guatemalan President Oscar Berger voiced concerns about deportations of Guatemalans from the U.S. Peter Mayer, CBS News, with the president in Guatemala City. The next and final stop is Mexico. Senator Chuck Hagel, the Nebraska Republican who's been very critical of the Iraq War, called a news conference in Omaha today. The buzz was that he'd announce a run for the White House. But all Hagel announced was that he'll make a decision on his political future later this year.
I am leaving my options open. I'll continue to do the things I have been doing, raising money, preparing myself for those options. I believe we'll still be there in a few months.
One option is for Hagel to run for re-election to the Senate. In New York today, WCBS Radio's Marla Diamond was there as a Muslim funeral was held for 10 African immigrants killed in last week's house fire.
The tiny pine caskets were brought in one by one past huge crowds filling two city blocks outside the mosque. Inside, tears flowed like rain, says Imam Kanate Sulaiman. But the fathers of the dead remain strong.
We, as mourners, we are crying, but they come to us and said, don't cry. We know that God did it.
Musa Magasa, a prominent figure in the Malian community in New York City, lost five of his children in the fire. Mamadou Samare, a taxi driver, lost his wife and four children. Marla Diamond, CBS News, New York.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Hey, Ken, picking up a prescription?
Yes, my erosive acid reflux.
Me too. I take Protonix, pantoprazole sodium.
Does it work?
One Protonix tablet every morning helped control daytime, even nighttime acid reflux symptoms.
Nighttime symptoms too?
Yep. It even helped repair acid reflux damage, and I save on my Protonix prescription.
Think I could save on my copay?
Check your health plan. Hey, where are you going?
To call my doctor about Protonix.
Protonix copays are not less than generic drugs. Prescription Protonix heals acid-related erosions in the esophagus and relieves associated frequent and persistent heartburn. Most patients heal within 8 weeks. Your results may vary. Doctors may prescribe Protonix longer to maintain healing. Studies lasted 12 months. Other serious stomach conditions may still exist. In studies, the most common side effects were headache, diarrhea, and gas. Go to ProtonixSavings.com or call 888-5-REFLUX to learn more about Protonix, acid reflux disease, and savings. See our ad in the Saturday Evening Post. Ask your doctor if Protonix is right for you.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up later this hour, we'll talk to attorney Robert Weiss, who earlier today filed a class action suit in California against the manufacturers of baby bottles that contain a dangerous chemical called bisphenol A. We'll find out more about that coming up in about half an hour. But first, Ray McGovern returns to our program. He served our nation for 27 years at the Central Intelligence Agency, and now he's one of the members of VIPS, Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity. And he writes often. You can find his work online at truthout.org, commondreams.org, and perhaps other sites as well. Ray McGovern, welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Thanks. It's good to be back, Peter B.
And I wanted to get first your thoughts about last week's conviction of Scooter Libby. We just spent a half hour with Dave Lindorf talking about some aspects of it. But I wanted to get your take. You wrote a powerful piece about why Dick Cheney flipped out, and we'll delve into a couple of those details in a moment. But the primary spin by those who defend Scooter Libby and promote the idea of a pardon for him is that there was no underlying crime. This was a he said, she said case. And, what is all this about? And I like to counter about the he said, she said. It was actually a they said he lied. And I believe it was 8 or 9 to 1 in terms of the witnesses who were very firm in their accounts of what happened. And they all contradicted Scooter Libby's account. And as to the underlying crime, I think there was an underlying crime, and I'm frustrated that it didn't get prosecuted, but that failure to prosecute doesn't prove that there never was an underlying crime. Your thoughts?
Well, I agree. You can't have a rule of law if you have people perjuring themselves under oath, nor can you have an orderly administration if you have people covering up for one another, as Libby did for his boss, Dick Cheney. The major crime here, of course, was what Nuremberg called a war of aggression. And this war of aggression, which we launched against Iraq, was justified primarily by one little piece of information that happened to be based on a forgery. And that was the cockamamie story that Iraq had sought to get uranium out of the African country of Niger.
Mm-hmm.
Cockamamie? Of course it was. There's no way that it could have gotten that. The uranium there is controlled by an international consortium headed by the French. And there are all kinds of other reasons why it just could not be possible. Well, Dick Cheney needed something to base his mushroom clouds on, and this is what he used with Congress, with your representatives and senators in mind, to trick them into voting for an unnecessary war. Here comes Joe Wilson, and he says, the administration has twisted the intelligence, and this begs the question with respect to what else they're lying about. Now, this was at a time, 4 months into the war, when no weapons of mass destruction had been found, where the intelligence analysts were not willing to support Cheney's contention that there was some sort of relationship between al-Qaeda and Saddam Hussein.
And, Ray, we were also embarrassed because we had not captured Saddam at that point.
Yeah, everything was sort of falling apart, and here comes Wilson cutting to the core of the major argument that he used, that Cheney used, and that others used. And, you don't have to take my word for it. Representative Waxman from California wrote a letter to the president before the war in which he said, Mr. President, I voted for this war, and now your own associates, your own advisors are telling me and the world that the key report that I gave credence to, namely that the Iraqis were seeking uranium in Niger, that was based on a forgery. Now, how can this happen, Mr. President? They've admitted it. He never got a satisfactory answer.
Mm-hmm.
The deeper question, of course, is, so who did the forgery? Who do you think did the forgery, Peter B.?
Well, Michael Ledeen, Niccolo, who was the Italian guy, the retired spook?
Yeah, I forget his last name.
Pilari, Niccolo Pilari.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it smells to high heaven because Ledeen, of course, is one of Cheney's men,
mm-hmm.
and he was dealing with these folks in Italy, and the thing really started there. And I'm convinced it's a circumstantial case, but I'm convinced that Cheney and Libby know darn well how that forgery got done, and there was a danger that could be exposed as well, and so. There was lots of incentive for Cheney to be, at the end of his rope here when Wilson exposed the cardinal lie that justified most of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, there was no way to retaliate against him because he's squeaky clean. I mean, he's got a wall full of encomia from the first President Bush and others. He was that gutsy ambassador in Baghdad who faced Saddam Hussein down. And so there's no way to get at him, and so wives became fair game. Actually, that's what they told one of the correspondents, wives are fair game. And they couldn't do much to her except to pretend that it was some sort of boondoggle that she sent her husband on. Now,
well, it's like he got a free trip to Club Med, only,
right.
There is no Club Med in Niger.
That out, too. Yeah, you're right about that. Yeah. if I'm going to go on a boondoggle and I go to Niger, you ought to kind of look up what I've been smoking or something.
Right. I mean, he didn't get a tan.
No, all he got was some cheap tea,
Mm-hmm.
So he came back, and that was the only thing they could, as if they would impeach his testimony by saying, well, his wife sent him, and it was sort of a nepotism sort of thing. That's the best they could do. Now, how do you explain that they went with it anyway? Well, my explanation is that this was such a gauntlet thrown down at them, such a confrontation by Wilson, that all these, you know, the hundreds of other people within the State Department, CIA, and the Pentagon, who knew about the listening of lies leading up to the war, well, they might feel encouraged to go and do what Wilson did and tell the New York Times or the Washington Post about some of those lies. And so the major operation here, as Cheney saw it, at least I think so, was to say, look, we have to serve notice that even if you're squeaky clean, wives are fair game, and even if your wife is squeaky clean, we know about that 14-year-old son you have in junior high school had that drug problem. We're going to get you. Don't ever think you can go to the press and escape unscathed.
Ray McGovern with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Now, Ray, I'm disappointed on a number of fronts because I thought the Libby trial was just going to be phase one here, and I thought that we would ultimately at least peel back the layers and understand Cheney's role in detail, if not see him as an unindicted co-conspirator or ultimately indicted. Yeah. And that appears to be out of the picture now. Karl Rove seems to be off the hook. And even the jurors said that they had sympathy for Libby, not that they weren't willing to convict him of the clear crimes that were proven before them, but they said they felt he was a fall guy, and where's Rove, where's Cheney? I think those are very powerful questions that we may never get the clear answers to.
Well, there may be something new today, Peter B., but last I heard, Waxman was going to interview Valerie Plame.
On Thursday, she has accepted. He also has invited, I don't believe a subpoena is involved, but he's invited Fitzgerald, and I've yet to hear if he has accepted.
Yeah, so that could get very interesting. Mm-hmm. In any case, even if it doesn't go much farther, the testimony itself was a clear indictment of Cheney. The way he operates and his impulsive behavior on this thing, and it indicates, as I tried to explain just a minute ago, how sensitive he was, with no WMD being found, with he way out in front saying they had a nuclear program and so forth, that it exposes the liar in a way that he had not been exposed before.
Mm-hmm. I guess I didn't require that level of proof.
Well, neither did I, but now, you know, anybody who's interested in the testimony or interested in the subject can read the testimony. It's on the record.
Right, yeah. So do you believe that Fitzgerald is finished, or do you think that he kind of coyly left at least a trap door there because he said that, it's been an inactive investigation, and unless there's new information, that he's going back to Chicago?
Yeah, I think that's probably something that should be taken at face value, Peter B. He is finished. He's got other work to do. There's not much sense from his perspective in plowing the same ground again. If he could have gotten Rove, I think we can all rest assured he would have.
Mm-hmm.
Rove, of course, you know, went back four times or so to clarify his testimony. So he avoided the perjury charges that sunk Libby. And as for the crime, you know, the crime of exposing a deep cover agent, well, it is a crime, but the fly in the ointment there is that you have to prove intent. And Fitzgerald apparently could not prove that they knew exactly beforehand what they were doing. So that washed out. But it's a terrible affair. How often do you have the high-ranking White House official indicted for perjury and obstruction of justice? I think it's a... You know, it's really a harbinger of things to come.
Yeah, and it wasn't even a sex crime. We're going to take a break and return with Ray McGovern. Next, we'll talk about another piece he's written about hoping to avoid a war with Iran. And we'll get his take on this week's debate over funding for the war in the Congress. If you have a question or comment, bring it on now. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. You can always email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Pour me another tequila, here's what people are saying about the hottest new show in town.
Joe, thank you so much for being here.
I want to wish you the best of luck with this. I think it's a great service.
Hey, drink up, all you people.
12-Step Talk Uncensored, where we take the shame and blame out of addiction. Join me, Sheila Gale, Saturday afternoons, 4 to 5. 12-Step Talk Uncensored. It's about time.
Yeah.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Every night, Jack Thomas camps out on a cold, lonely street corner. Tonight, some people almost brought him something to eat. Someone almost drove him to a shelter. Another almost brought him a warm blanket. And Jack Thomas, well, he almost made it through the night. Sometimes instead of giving, we almost give. But that's the same as not giving at all. Don't almost give. Give. Visit don'talmostgive.org. A message from the Ad Council.
And a very pleasant Monday afternoon to you. Let's take a look at the very latest as you folks make your way home this afternoon. Well, we do want to mention that we are getting word of a problem in the Del Monte Forest. And this is a 17-mile drive at Palmero Way. It's a fender bender, two vehicles involved, according to CHP. Now, minor injuries reported, so they may have called out for the fire department to respond, and there is a tow truck on scene. Then we take a drive on over to Castroville to Highway 1 at Moss Landing. We have an accident report there. No details, unfortunately, but the CHP is on scene. As soon as we get those details, we'll certainly bring them to you by our next report. This report brought to you by Welch's 100% Grape Juice. The American Heart Association recommends a diet rich in antioxidants. So where can you find them? Welch's 100% Grape Juice. It's full of natural, protective antioxidants. I'm Mike with traffic on KRXA AM 540.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 21 minutes after the hour. My guest, Ray McGovern, served the Central Intelligence Agency for 27 years.
And when you're out there, without care, yeah, I was out of touch. But it wasn't because I didn't know.
Bush Cheney want to attack Iran? They must be crazy.
Does that make me crazy? Does that make me crazy?
Ray McGovern, I found a piece that you published at truthout.org last Friday regarding our possible dust-up with Iran. And you made a couple of points in there that I think are salient. One is, in particular, that it hasn't gotten a lot of attention in the last couple of weeks, the acknowledgement that the intelligence that we used to confront North Korea over its alleged nuclear weapons development program appears to be deeply flawed. Shocking in its, you know, in and of itself, but it was used to, you know, presumably bring the Koreans to the table of the six-party talks and extract the recent agreement out of them that most parties don't believe will hold.
Yeah, worse than that, Peter B., it was used to vitiate the agreement that Clinton had worked out with them in 94.
Yeah.
The deal was that they would hold off from further production of plutonium in return to for oil shipments. When this phony intelligence came in September, October of 2002, Bush seized on it to claim that they were enriching uranium, which we had never known before, and therefore the deal was off, and he stopped the oil shipments, in return for which the North Koreans started producing plutonium again and kicked out the UN inspectors. So this was a consequential mistake by the Bush administration, because it ended up in a dozen plutonium bombs, whereas there were one or two before agreement between the Clinton administration and North Korea. So it's just a catastrophic error, and it was based on intelligence that was very, very superficial, and it was adduced as high confidence judgments. And then at the Senate hearing on the 27th of February, the expert on North Korea for the intelligence community got up and said, "Well, we've revised that down to mid-level confidence."
Right.
It was awful because they couldn't prove, and the president said it seven or eight times, that they couldn't prove. They didn't have really enough evidence to support his statement that the North Koreans had an entirely new and different enrichment process, namely uranium enrichment.
Mm-hmm. Now, I want to go to the phones in a moment, but so we don't run out of time, Ray, I wanted to give you just a minute here to size up the debate in Washington right now. The Democrats in the House are trying really hard to develop a consensus position, but the Pelosi plan, as it was announced last week, doesn't satisfy the progressives in the Out of Iraq caucus, and also seems to be too radical for some of the blue dog conservative Democrats. Do you think the Democrats are going to get unified around a specific plan here?
Well, I'm afraid they are. And let me put it this way. Failure in Iraq is not an option. It's a certainty, okay?
Yeah.
Those of us who were around for Vietnam know that the jig is up. We've been saying that in veteran intelligence professionals for 3.5 years. You can't win this kind of guerrilla war. The only reason Petraeus went out there was to get his fourth star. I'm sure that's the case because he knows as well as anyone you can't suppress 26 million people with 140,000 troops. So that's where we start here, and Pelosi and company should get an intelligence briefing, and it should be made very clear to them there is no possibility that reinforcement or anything else is going to make a difference. And that what they'll do by postponing withdrawal for 18 months is acquiesce in the killing of from 1,500 to 2,000 more U.S. troops at a minimum. That's just extrapolating from the last couple of months, and everybody says it's going to get worse, and countless additional Iraqis. And that's a lot to have on your conscience. So Barbara Lee was right the first time after 9/11 when she was the sole vote against giving the president carte blanche to start wars, and she's right this time. What they should do is bite the bullet and start in an orderly and measured way bringing our troops home now before more of them get killed, because it's not going to be better in 18 months.
Amen. Daniel in Santa Cruz, join us. Peter B. and Ray McGovern here.
Hello, Peter B.
Hi, Daniel.
What a treat having Ray McGovern on the radio. Hey, Mr. McGovern, I'm concerned that the CIA is basically the president's private army. There's no oversight, congressional oversight, or budgetary oversight. What do you have to say about that? What should be done with the CIA? I mean, they were wrong about 9/11. They were wrong about the fall of the Soviet Union. What good are they?
Well, we talk about two CIAs, really. The operational end is something that is quite different animal and needs very, very close supervision. The analysis section where I worked is a horse of it's a little different. What needs to happen with the analysis is you need to have a president with some measure of integrity appoint somebody in charge with a devotion to the truth, somebody who's made it on his or her own, somebody who doesn't have to acquiesce in the president's wishes, somebody will do what we used to do. I served under 9 directors, and most of them measured up. Some of them got fired because they spoke truth to power. That's what's necessary. When that tone is set, we'll be in better shape. Now, I had given up pretty much, but when you look at the last 3 estimates that have been sort of leaked or released, the one on Iraq, the one on terrorism, and the one on Iran, they're all decently honest estimates. And so I have some hope that there are enough good people doing an honest job back there that with new leadership they could...
Ray McGovern, thank you very much. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last 4 decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
CBS Radio Network. The August 14th Democratic debate is apparently off because it was going to be broadcast by the Fox News Channel. And then last Thursday, the head of Fox News, Roger Ailes, said this during a speech.
And it is true that Barack Obama is on the move. I don't know if it's true that President Bush called Musharraf and said, why can't we catch this guy?
It was a joke, you see. The name Obama sounds like Osama, and so the president... Well, anyway, that was the last straw for Democratic activists who swamped the candidates with emails demanding they boycott until on Friday the Democratic Party canceled altogether. Except that Obama himself said over the weekend he doesn't care. He's heard much worse. And actually, come to think of it, who does the joke really insult?
I don't know if it's true that President Bush called Musharraf and said, why can't we catch this guy?
The punchline is that President Bush says, why can't we catch this guy? This guy named Obama, you see. And that punchline is funny only if the audience harbors the forbidden belief that George Bush is in fact clueless. The headline should have been, Fox News chief insults biggest fan. But no matter. Democrats pulled out, now they look like weenies. They had a chance to spend 90 minutes on Fox pointing out how the president got every penny he asked for in Iraq, and how he commands the greatest army in the world, and yet remains in a stalemate with 20,000 insurgents who don't have a single battleship, a single aircraft, or a single tank. In fact, they should have demanded that Ann Coulter be the moderator so we could watch her head explode. Now that would be good TV. Now this.
Hey, this is Michael Walter.
And I'm Sammy Hagar.
And we're here to tell you that when you stop by NAPA today, you can register for a chance to ride in my number 55 Toyota.
So, Michael, what you're saying is...
I could ride in 55!
Exactly.
Stop by any participating NAPA Auto Parts store today and register for your chance to win a ride in the number 55 NAPA Toyota. See store for official sweepstakes rules and complete details. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. NAPA. Get the good stuff.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
God listens to Billy Sunshine. Maybe you should, too. Sundays, 3 to 5, on KRXA, 540 AM, The Billy Sunshine Show with Pilar. Coming soon.
You see, we're on a mission from God.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I continue as your humble host, Peter B. Are you ready? Are you steady? Can we go, huh?
Ready, steady, go, go!
Lots to talk about, and you're invited to join this conversation toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B.
Ready, steady, go!
Next hour, it's all your phone calls in the free speech zone. We got plenty to talk about. I'm going to give you an update on the talk radio convention that I attended on Friday in Southern California. I'll just give you this tidbit. This is the place that had a huge poster with a picture of L. Rushbo. Next to the banner, America's Truth Detector. Earlier today, a group of attorneys for Rights for Americans filed a billion-dollar class action suit in California against five leading manufacturers of baby bottles, alleging that they have ignored or failed to disclose the dangers of a chemical used in making those baby bottles. To learn more, we invited attorney Robert H. Weiss to join us on the program today. Mr. Weiss, thank you for talking with us.
Thank you, Peter. I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, and first of all, just by way of establishing your credentials, let me tell you that I was an Enron shareholder.
Oh, God.
And you led one of the class action suits to help retirees and others recover their pension and other benefits from Enron. How's that going?
Well, I mean, with Enron, we didn't do the class actions. We did the opt-outs from the class actions.
I see.
And some of them are still going on. Some of them we've settled. But this is much worse than that. I mean, Enron was about money. This is about babies, and this chemical goes throughout generations.
Mm-hmm.
So that it's a synthetic estrogen. It's called bisphenol A. And it was developed as at the same time DES was developed. I don't know if you remember the DES litigation, which was very big in the 70s and the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
The DES and bisphenol A are both synthetic estrogens. It turned out that DES was a more potent synthetic estrogen, so they basically put bisphenol A on the shelf and then recycled it, believe it or not, into baby bottles. So as bad as Enron was, and as bad as WorldCom is, and as bad as Vioxx, we just got a $47 million verdict today on Vioxx.
Oh, good for you.
There's a lot of bad stuff going on. This is the worst one, Peter, I've ever seen.
Now, explain for those of us who hit the wall in, you know, junior chemistry, this bisphenol A, it's spelled BISEPHONAL-A.
Right.
How does it wind up in the manufacturing process for baby bottles and binkies, those kinds of things?
Well, it turned out to be an effective plastic. So what's happening is we're swimming in bisphenol A for plastics, and about 90% of the population test positive on some level for bisphenol A. The real danger, though, is in the baby bottles, because when it's heated up, when the formula is heated up,
mm-hmm.
There's a leakage in terms of micrograms, about 4 micrograms for each serving of which really adds up over the course of a baby's lifetime. So this very dangerous chemical that's been linked in scientific studies to obesity, diabetes, and birth defects, and cancers, and a variety of different things, is going into our babies' mouths. Now, what the industry's done, and which they always do, is they always circle the wagon and say, wait a minute, it's too late, it's too early to determine the science. We have to do more studies and do more studies, all as a way of keeping the product on the market, very similar to what they did with tobacco. I don't know if you remember that. The tobacco companies set up an organization called the Tobacco Research Institute to keep the question open as to whether or not cigarette smoking was linked to lung cancer. And they were able to buy scientists who kept it up. That's what the industry is doing right now with bisphenol A.
Okay. And what products does it show up in that you've been able to identify so far?
Well, it's in baby bottles. It's in it used as a coating in a lot of baby toys.
Mm-hmm.
It's in a variety of products. You know, plastic cups and things like that. We know
about sippy cups. People know what a sippy cup is.
Sippy cups. Yeah. It's in that as well.
Uh huh. And if the industry has been aware of this, why would they continue to utilize it?
It's a good question, and the answer is, unfortunately, what happens in these corporate boardrooms is they're so far removed from humanity that they're looking at, well, you know, do we have a liability? How can we quantify the liability? How can we avoid the liability? As a matter of fact, what I'm calling on is for the industry to not do what they normally do, not circle the wagons, pull the product off the market, and disclose all the industry studies. Right now, the only ones who really studied this carefully is the industry when they're trying to quantify their own liability.
Mm-hmm. So I have a press release from you here that identifies Gerber, Evenflow, Avent, Playtex, and Dr. Brown's as the manufacturers of these products. Now, is that the Dr. Brown's soft drink?
No, it's not the soft drink. It's a different company.
Well, that's good, because I've got a black cherry in my freezer here, and I'm looking forward to sipping it a little bit later. And what kind of symptoms to date have been identified as produced in children who use these products, Robert Weiss?
Well, it creates what they call chromosome sorting problems. So there are developmental problems with the genitalia for both men and women. There's diabetes, there's obesity, there's neurological problems, there are cancers associated with it. It's putting a synthetic estrogen into your body. It's a hormone. So, in a small dosage, it creates these subtle changes. And there's a lot of scientific questions we don't know the answers to that I think if we got all the answers on bisphenol A, we'd figure it out. Like, for instance, the age of menstruation of young girls has declined dramatically to the point where right now third and fourth grade girls are menstruating and the schools are having to deal with it. The sperm count of men has declined dramatically over the last 20 years or so, right around the time that bisphenol A came out. So, there are a lot of things that are associated with it, and there's a lot of questions that are still open.
Mm-hmm.
The lawsuit that we filed today, rather than get into all the debates on the science, because, the industry has scientists that says that there's nothing wrong with it, is that they knew of these issues, they know of the studies, and they failed to disclose the risk. And that's all what this class action is asking for, that they be responsible for the damages for failure to disclose the risks.
Mm-hmm. And at minimum, shouldn't the products be labeled as containing this element, this bisphenol A?
Absolutely, yes. They should be. I think they should be pulled off the market. But at absolute minimum, they should be labeled.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, again, you're an attorney, not a scientist, and I'm neither. But let me ask you what you know. Have there been any studies that have isolated bisphenol A in mice or in other creatures that show these pathologies? Because one of the questions that arises for me, I know that there is at least an anecdotal link between consumption of fish products thought to have high levels of mercury and the development of issues like ADHD and autism and some other conditions in young children. But where is the science in terms of actual proof or demonstration of the negative impact of bisphenol A on youngsters?
Well, I could send you several of the papers. What's happened is last week, the reason that we filed this week is because last week there was a meeting on this issue with the National Institute of Health. Now, it turns out that the chairman of the National Institute of Health committee worked for Merck, which is, you know, a corporate defendant, not in this particular case, but a variety of other cases.
Well, in the Vioxx case you just settled.
Well, the Vioxx case we just talked about, as well as, I mean, there are a lot of things that Merck was responsible for.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's an industry panel. So there were 200 papers that were submitted from academicians and consumer groups and independents. And the NIH meeting, which was last week, got so rancorous that it broke up. They actually broke the meeting. Because of the pressure that's being put on these industry scientists by independent scientists. So there are 200 papers that were submitted in this meeting to indicate what links there are. There's been a lot of science on this, and what the industry does, what the chemical industry is famous for this, pharmaceutical industry does the same type of thing. They basically, you know, try to corrupt scientists. They try to find the same thing with global warming. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The question is, you know, most independent scientists think we have a problem. I'm sitting in L.A. right now. It's 90 degrees in L.A. It's 90 degrees in L.A. today.
Yeah, we're having a summer day in San Francisco. It's beautiful, I'll tell you.
It's wonderful, but, you know, the question is, I mean, most governments right now are looking at the science and say, yeah, global warming is a problem.
Yeah.
There's an industry that continues to pump out information saying it's not a problem, it's not a problem, because they have a financial interest. I personally, Peter, think they cross the line when it comes to babies. I think that they can have a very hard time doing this. And I'm glad to speak with you, because I know that you're a social conservative, that you are, you know, not necessarily on the side of the trial lawyers with everything, that you're, you know, someone who may look askance at some of these things we're doing. But
hold on a second there, Robert Weiss. I think you did research on somebody else. I'm a longtime supporter of trial lawyers, and I'm not a social conservative. I'm a dangerous lefty.
Okay. Well, then forgive me. Maybe it's somebody else. But the point that I'm making is that social conservatives, who are, you know, quite active in the talk radio field, obviously.
Oh yeah.
Have been carrying water for this type of corporate, you know, badness.
Absolutely, and
I could use the word evil, and I think I'm comfortable using it.
Sure,
And I think it's time for that to stop. I think that it's time for the family people to stand up and say this is enough. When it comes to baby bottles, we don't want to spend 25 years waiting to see what the science says.
Yeah, and selling poison should be a crime, even if it profits conservatives or anybody else. It's simply a very clear issue of justice and right and wrong. And I think in some ways what you're referring to is best depicted in the movie that came out last year called Thank You for Smoking, where the lobbyists for big tobacco, big booze, and what was it? The third one was it gambling? They would get together every week and kind of compare notes on how many people they had helped kill.
It's incredible that this is going on in this country, and it really is. I mean, that's one of the reasons why we started Rights for Americans, and I encourage everyone to go to the website. The easiest way to do it is www.rights4.com, and you'll see some of the projects we're involved in. You know, this is a huge problem, and you also have to realize, like, at what point, you know, where are people in their humanity in terms of, you know, their relationship to the other people and to God, when they could actually make these type of decisions regarding baby bottles?
Yeah.
If a baby bottle is even close to being dangerous, if anything's even close to being dangerous, they, you know, you take it away from a baby.
Absolutely. So let's take a break here and we'll continue. If you have a question or a comment for attorney Robert H. Weiss, he's leading the charge on this suit to try to get these products off the market. At minimum, they should be labeled. And he's also seeking damages from manufacturers like Gerber, Evenflow, Avent, Playtex, and Dr. Brown's. The issue here is products that include BPA or bisphenol A, and that is a chemical used in making plastics that contains estrogen, and that's what is thought to be contributing to these health complications that occur. So we'll take a break and return. My number is 888-5-PETER-B, toll-free 888-573-8372. Again, Robert Weiss's website is Rights for Americans. I found it all spelled out, Rights for Americans, but apparently there's a mirror site at rights4.com. Check it out. More in a moment right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
One Day Income Tax Service, family-owned and operated since 1944, specializes in year-round professional tax preparation. Do you want your refund quickly? Stop by One Day Income Tax Service. They offer tax preparation at reasonable rates and work to meet the needs of military families with the capacity to process all out-of-state returns. If you prefer to prepare your own return at home, they can help you expedite your refund by filing your return electronically. Let One Day Income Tax Service assist you with your return and maximize your refund. Stop by 885 Broadway Avenue in Seaside, where no appointment is necessary. Looking for quick, professional, and reasonable tax return preparation? Visit One Day Income Tax Service, 885 Broadway Avenue, Seaside, or call 394-8010. That's 831-394-8010. One Day Income Tax Service, where you walk in with a copy of your most recent tax return, personal ID, and W-2 1099 info for 2006, and you walk out with your completed tax return.
Very pleasant. Good afternoon to you. Let's take a look at the very latest and get you to your destination safely. So we want to mention the fact that we do have, Highway 17, Santa Cruz Mountains. No problems to report, which is always wonderful news. But we do want to mention a problem in, Castroville, 183 at Sanchez. Fender bender, two vehicles involved. CHP is on the scene. CHP also telling us minor injuries reported, so the fire department has been called out to the scene there. Also want to mention San Jose, southbound 684 Capitol Expressway, right shoulder fender bender there. Santa Cruz Highway 1, southbound to the Morrissey Ramp, the on and off ramp shut down 24 hours a day for road work scheduled through May 1st. This report brought to you by River Rock Casino. I'm Mike Bestrapkin on KRXA.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. 9 minutes away from the hour. We're trying to wake people up to the threat caused by a certain component in the manufacturing of plastic baby cups, sippy cups, baby bottles. It's called bisphenol A.
Wake up, everybody. We're mostly sleeping in bed. Come on back, we're thinking. Time to think in here. The world has changed so very much. So much hatred, war and poverty.
We're talking with attorney Robert H. Weiss, W-E-I-S-S. The website is rightsforamericans.com, where you can get more information. The class action suit filed in California earlier today, and it's described as a billion-dollar class action suit. Robert Weiss, what are the damages and who would pay them?
Well, what we're asking for is a variety of things. And the first level of damages is decision. Again, we're not going to get into all the science, so we're not going to look at, you know, specific medical cases. But I believe that the companies were selling this product in violation of California Consumer Protection Law, so that the contract, the sale of a baby bottle should be reversed, and the people should get their money back. That's number one. So it's a class action on behalf of every, parent who purchased these baby bottles over a period of years. addition to that, we're asking for punitive damages, and we're also asking for corrective advertising, similar to what they did in tobacco, and there's precedent for that in California,
mm-hmm.
where these companies should spend money advertising, telling people about the risks of these baby bottles that are still on the market.
Okay. And, well, I'm thinking, I was at a gas pump earlier today. There's a label there that warns you about the fumes that you can ingest while you're filling up your tank and the potential birth defects and other things that can occur. I believe it's under Proposition 68 that these... 60, thank you. These disclosures are required. Are sippy cups or baby bottles somehow exempted from that?
No, they're not. That's the purpose of the lawsuit. They should have disclosed. They should have warned. They should have disclosed the risk.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, at bare minimum, they need to put disclosures on it. But, you know, I just don't think this is a safe product in any way, shape, or form.
My
preference is that they take it off the market.
Do the manufacturers claim that you're simply mistaken, or are they doing the tobacco thing where they're just trying to create confusion and a delay process?
Yeah, they're doing the tobacco thing where they're definitely doing the tobacco thing, but the gravamen of my lawsuit is a little different than most lawsuits. It's specifically for failure to disclose a risk. So, believe it or not, their position is we didn't know about the risk. All you have to do is Google bisphenol A, dangerous baby bottles, BPA. Anyone can type it into Google. It's a Google click away. So I really don't think that that's going to carry a lot of water with the force. It's hard for me to think how they think.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure what they're going to do is they're going to spend a lot of money defending it, and they're going to hire some of the best lawyers that, you know, money can buy. And they'll come up with a variety of defenses, not all of which I can anticipate. And God willing, we're going to be able to defeat them.
Yeah.
Because in terms of right and wrong, this one isn't even close.
And how do you project the timeline forward? How long does it take to actually get before a judge on a case like this?
Well, it'll take a while to get before a judge, and of course the litigation could take years. It took 25 years, more than 25 years, before tobacco, which is still on the market. A lot of people didn't think cigarettes would be on the market before they did the corrective advertising, before they started to put more stronger warnings on it. It could take that long. My suspicion, though, Peter, is that, you know, that this is striking a chord with people, and I think that it's going to be hard for the executives in this. It's just a basic human thing. You know, you're talking about babies. You're talking about feeding babies. It's like the most primal thing. It's not even human. It's the entire animal kingdom. I mean, it's all creation. So I think they're going to have a hard time ultimately doing what they would like to do, which is just to continue to muddy the waters and keep making money on it. But I really don't know. I mean, I don't know what their reaction is going to be.
And Robert Weiss, what kind of media reaction are you getting? I see on your website that my friend John Elliott on Air America did a feature with you on this subject, but I haven't seen coverage in the corporate media, in the newspapers, or on television today.
Well, as a result of this filing, we have an article on in Bloomberg. Television, the problem with television, I think, is that, you know, we're talking about some big advertisers here. We did a story that was run, I believe it was run, they interviewed me as a result of this filing in the NBC affiliate in Los Angeles, and I think that story ran locally. But so far, the national media, national television media, has not picked it up.
Uh-huh. Wow. Well, maybe, you know, I guess this may seem a little off the mark or sorted to you, but perhaps if Anna Nicole's baby has one of these cups, the media will actually cover it.
That's a very good point. yeah. But, you know, the more so than the radio, actually the freest media really is the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Just the marketplace of ideas is the most open,
yeah.
And the least free in terms of control is the is TV, because, you know, they're dependent on these heavy sponsors.
Right.
So when you're talking about network TV, it's very, very hard to crack a story like this.
Mm-hmm.
And so far we haven't done it. You know, God willing, they'll pick it up at some point.
Robert, just about a minute and a half remaining. Can you profile a case of an individual baby who has suffered clear medical setbacks as a result?
Listed in our complaint is a baby who's, I don't really want to say his name, but it's in the complaint, who who had the this malformed genitalia that the doctors linked directly to bisphenol A.
Mm-hmm.
And this is exactly the kind of thing. There's something called hyperspadia, which is a malformation of a boy's penis that often leads to sterility, which was virtually non-existent when I was a child, and is now, you know, one of the most common procedures next to a hernia for a young boy.
Wow.
And this is linked to it. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a tremendous amount of bad things that are linked to it. And the first thing we need to do is stop fighting about, you know, what could be the possible other causes of it, get this stuff off the market, or at least warn people, and then we can sort out the science of it.
Yeah.
But, yes, there are, you know, in our complaint, we have a boy who's been injured as a result of it. Again, we're not asking for damages for his medical injury. We're asking for damages because they failed to warn of a risk that they knew of.
Mm-hmm. Well, Robert Weiss, thank you for the work you've taken on here. Thanks for taking the time to join us today. I want to direct people to your website again, rightsfor.com or rightsforamericans.com. And in the latter case, you spell out F-O-R. Robert Weiss, thanks for your work.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
We'll talk again. Well, that's a very interesting case, and frankly, a week ago, I knew nothing about it. And if this is the first you've heard, I hope you'll spread the word, especially to the parents of young children. Get those sippy cups and baby bottles out of their hands, especially if they were made by Gerber, Evenflow, Avent, Playtex, and Dr. Brown's, and are made of plastic. Coming up next, the Free Speech Zone. Grab a line, and we'll talk on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You got cooking. How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right. Dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The house cleaning continues as the Pentagon confronts a scandal over conditions at Walter Reed and other military hospitals.
The Surgeon General of the Army is the third Walter Reed-related departure this month.
Lieutenant General Kevin Kiley submitted his request for retirement.
Acting Army Secretary Pete Guerin was addressing Walter Reed workers when he made that statement. According to a senior defense official, it was Guerin who asked Kiley to leave.
We will do whatever it takes to get it right.
Guerin pointed to several investigations now underway to fix bureaucratic and housing problems for wounded vets. Kiley, before becoming the Army Surgeon General, was in charge at Walter Reed and the lightning rod for criticism over conditions the wounded vets face. John Harchie, CBS News, Washington.
Jim Nicholson, the Secretary of Veterans Affairs, has ordered a sweeping review of 1,400 VA hospitals and clinics. He wants a report from each one by Wednesday. Political pundits, rarely at a loss for words, are scratching their heads over Senator Chuck Hagel's non-announcement today. Nebraska Republican called a news conference in Omaha only to say that he'll decide later about running for president, and he might decide not to.
You don't have the passion, get out of the way. Let somebody else do it. And if I feel that, if I ever feel that, I will get out of the way.
Among Senate Republicans, Hagel is the leading critic of the Iraq War. President Bush, continuing his Latin America tour, spent the day in Guatemala.
I'm Peter Mayer in Guatemala City. This Central American country reeling from narco violence has heard a George W. Bush law and order lecture.
I am a if they break the law, arrest them person.
Mr. Bush says he and Guatemalan President Oscar Berger focused on the need to take on the drug lords. The president will use his next stop, Mexico, to call for a stepped-up regional effort to improve intelligence sharing and law enforcement to go after drug gangs. Peter Mayer, CBS News, Guatemala City.
In Southern California,
Helicopters continue to dump big buckets of water on the wildfire that's burned more than 2,000 acres and damaged two homes. Steve Miller of the Orange County Fire Authority says it's 80% contained, but work remains to be done.
There's those two areas that if we don't get tied in completely, that the fire could take off on us, and again with the higher temperatures and if we get increased winds.
The cause, authorities believe, it started with a stolen car being set on fire. Strong wind fanned the flames. Carlos Barraza lives in that area.
You move up here because you want to be as close to nature as you can, and unfortunately, it comes with its consequences.
It's also windy and very dry in western North Carolina. Wildfires over the weekend destroyed 9 homes in the Bryson City area. Today on Wall Street, stocks were higher. The Dow Industrials up 42 points to 12,318. The NASDAQ nearly 15 points to the good at 2,402. And the price of oil fell below $59 a barrel today. This is CBS News.
This is Charles Osgood of the Osgood File. Is orange juice part of your morning routine? I switched to Welch's 100% grape juice because it has twice the antioxidant power of orange juice. And you may have heard a diet naturally rich in antioxidants is good for you. Not only does drinking Welch's 100% grape juice help promote a healthy heart, but emerging research suggests it may help to protect memory and brain health as well. And it's nice to know Welch's is made from Concord grapes grown right here in America by Welch's farmer owners. So drink Welch's 100% grape juice for an unmistakably delicious way to add antioxidants to your diet. This is Charles Osgood. See you on the Osgood File.
So let's say you go shopping, and you walk into the first store you come to. The store says, hey, no need to shop those other stores. We'll give you our price and theirs, too. What do you think? That would save you time. But then you come to your senses. How do you really know if you're getting the best deal?
Car insurance websites that promise multiple rate quotes can't speak for GEICO. Shop for yourself at GEICO.com. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
When you need to raise cash, you find things you can sell. WWJ Radio's Jeff Gilbert reports Ford is selling a controlling stake in Aston Martin, the exotic British sports car made famous by James Bond.
Aston Martin brought Ford a lot of prestige, but as a brand that only sold about 5,000 cars a year, it never brought in much in the way of profits. Auto Pacific analyst Jim Hall says today's Ford Motor Company has to worry a lot more about profits than prestige.
It makes pretty good sense for them to sort of get out of the business of low-volume, super exotic vehicles.
Aston Martin's new owners include European racing entrepreneur David Richards and two Kuwaiti investment firms. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Detroit.
Ford gets $848 million in the deal. This has to be some sort of record. The Cincinnati Enquirer says a judge sentencing music producer Ricky Lackey for defrauding a bank asked how many children he had. Lackey said, none, but I have 6 on the way. Lackey is the expectant father of 6 children by 6 different women, all due between August and October. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
And now for the bonus round. What's the inverse of January 12th?
September 22nd, 9 p.m. Eastern.
Correct. What's next in this sequence? Sequoia? Hummingbird?
Pantalones.
Correct. How many movies has Netflix delivered so far?
Over 1 billion.
Correct. Netflix. Over 1 billion movies delivered so far. Zero late fees. Choose movies online and get DVDs delivered to your door in about one business day. Start your free trial. Plans now from only $4.99 a month. Netflix. It's that easy.
Nice shot! Time out!
Basketball's fun, but I need a cold drink.
My mom's making rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Ovaltine?
Let's go!
I guess the kids will be home soon. Let's make rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Come on! Sarah's mom's making
rich chocolate Ovaltine.
All right!
My kids love Ovaltine's rich chocolate taste. And I love all those vitamins and minerals that you won't find in Nesquik powder.
Mom, we're back!
Who wants Ovaltine?
We do!
We better make more.
More Ovaltine, please!
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated.
Really?
And mild-mannered, except when he's not.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
This is the Free Speech Zone. Your calls and comments are welcome this entire hour. Do you know the rules? We accept calls on any subject, from any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. Be coherent, and you'll get on the air. Be conservative, and we'll put you at the front of the line. The switchboard is available to you now, toll free. Yeah, I actually pay for the call. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. goes away on Friday, and you heard some repeat programs. We're back live here this Monday. And later in the hour, I will share with you some of my adventures in Southern California and an event called the Talk Radio Seminar, a confab of all the leading industry people involved in the talk radio industry, the conservative talk, mostly, industry in this country. And I'll pass some comments on a little bit later. But I want to get some important subjects out of interest to everyone. And Friday, Robert Mueller, former U.S. attorney in San Francisco, who's been head of the FBI for about 7 years now, made a kind of apology. He was on Capitol Hill, and they started grilling him about the use of national security letters, which are kind of, instant search warrants that can be executed by an FBI official without a court or any other supervision. These were enabled by the Patriot Act, the misguided fascist legislation that was passed without being read by most members who voted for it. And while some efforts have been made to reform it and amend it, it still is an egregious piece of legislation that erodes the rights of Americans. Robert Mueller was forced to defend the use of these national security letters, which, it's pretty shocking. In 2000, there were 8,500. Then the Patriot Act was passed. They went up to 39,000 in 2003. And then 56,000 in 2004. A light year in 2005, it declined to 47,000. But Mueller has acknowledged that not all of these were used in a proper manner. And he offered this as a kind of apology. How could this happen? Mueller asked rhetorically. Who is to be held accountable? And the answer to that is, I am to be held accountable. Now, I want you to note this. I'm going to read it again. Mueller asked himself and then answered his own question. He asked a two-part question, but he only answered one part of it. How could this happen? Who is to be held accountable? And the answer is that I am to be held accountable. You notice that? He glided right over the how could this happen part. And he takes responsibility in the same lame way that Bush has claimed he's taken responsibility for our failures in Iraq. And I'm very troubled by this because when you add this to the NSA spying program, to the data mining operations, which were also discussed in the hearing on Friday, yes, the phone companies don't even require warrants. Either a national security letter is used, or in some cases, our government has bought our phone records from the phone companies whose privacy policies previously prevented that. And in the consolidated case over the NSA program, we're hanging on by a thread because Judge Vaughn Walker here in San Francisco has refused the Justice Department's efforts to dismiss the charges, to dismiss these cases, out of the fear of state secrets being spilled. And that now is a common technique used by the Bush administration. They used it against Al-Masri. Al-Masri is the German citizen who we grabbed and treated to a free jet ride over to Afghanistan. We called it extraordinary rendition. We tortured him. We ultimately released him. And what is clear is that it was simply a mistaken identity case because there's another Khalid Al-Masri who is an Al-Qaeda guy in Iraq. And his case has been thrown out of the U.S. courts because the Justice Department claimed the state's secret privilege. So we're living in very difficult times, where in the name of protecting us from terrorists who haven't attacked us since 9/11, at least not domestically, and of course Cheney and Bush claim that that's because they've been spying on us. But I take the counter view. And that is, these are unnecessary incursions on our constitutional rights. And a serious mistake that will take us years to recover from. And on a slightly separate note, but related, Chuck Schumer, the camera-shy senator from New York State, came out yesterday and called for the resignation of Alberto Gonzalez, who is currently the attorney general, longtime crony of George W. Bush. I agree with Chuck Schumer on that. I'd like to hear your comments. There are other stories we'll talk about in the news as the hour rolls on, but our lines are open to hear from you in the free speech zone, and my number is 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Ben's on the line. Hello, Ben. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Good afternoon, Peter B. Yes, Schumer's right. Alberto Gonzalez, he was flawed coming in. He's flawed now. And not only fire them, but prosecute these people. What I'm chopping at the bit at today is I'm going to give you my overview of this Halliburton move to Dubai.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? Now, keep in mind, the chief executive is moving from Houston to Dubai. Okay. They claim that Halliburton will maintain a headquarters in the United States, but the CEO will be based in Dubai, in the Emirates.
But here's what I say regarding Mueller. Okay. There, Halliburton is currently under four different investigations for everything from bad food to bad water to just the Kellogg, Brown, and Root aspects of our people being disserved for taxpayer dollars to the total expenditure of the questioned amount, $21 billion. Okay, now, we have given them $72 billion since this business war has started. But $21 billion is in question. Now, why is it that Mueller and the people that run this country, I hope, can't seize the assets of all Halliburton people pending the outcome of these investigations and upcoming war profiteering trials? And here's another part.
Well, I have an answer to that question.
Yes, sir.
It's Dick Cheney.
Okay, now this brings me to part two of my question.
Now, first of all, it would take a long time to seize those assets, but your general thrust is correct. That, number one, the Department of Defense should not let a single further contract with Halliburton until they've squared away the shenanigans on the contracts that you just referenced.
And you can throw on top of that the $21 billion sole source open-ended contracts to Blackwater Securities of North Carolina run by a skull and bones guy, and all the money goes to his sister, so makes it unreachable because the records go to the Cayman Islands. Now the move to Dubai. I think that's to consolidate their holdings of those 14 military bases. Six are completed. Those are many communities complete with homes, car dealerships, built with U.S. taxpayer dollars. Are they going to consolidate their holdings to have direction, control, and ownership of those military bases now that we paid for them, including that new embassy? Is that to be the new Israel?
Don't know the answer to that. I would speculate in this direction.
Yes, sir.
That by moving to Dubai, Halliburton may be able to use its Cayman Islands subsidiary.
Yes.
That has been doing business with the government of Iran.
And
maybe they see a market opening there. Yes. After our attack on Iran, Halliburton will be there to help them rebuild.
Yes, and the overriding dragon in the sky is, why is Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, and the country of China turning all their American dollars into euros and gold bullion? There is the nest of rattlesnakes that, if we're going to get our country back, we got to clean out the barn, like Ross Perot said.
All right, Ben, thank you, sir. All right, that's Ben, and I appreciate his comments. You can join us next. We're going to take a break and return in the Free Speech Zone. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. I'd love to hear your comments on anything that's on your mind, including the issues we've discussed so far today, like baby bottles that are tainted, poisonous, carrying a very dangerous chemical. We also talked about the media and the Ann Coulter Initiative. We talked with our friend Paul Waldman from Media Matters for America about how others, including Rush Limbaugh, have picked up the cudgel and the talking point, raising these kind of silly but salacious questions about John Edwards and accusing him of being gay. I'd like to hear from you, so grab a line and we'll talk about it. 888-5-PETER-B is my toll-free number, 888-573-8372. 17 minutes past the hour. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Postgraduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
And a very pleasant good afternoon to you, or good evening, I should say. And let's give you the very latest. Make sure you get to your destination safely, or at least give you the information. We're going to talk about Castroville, 183 at Sanchez. We have a two-vehicle fender bender. Now, CHP telling us this is a minor injury crash. The CHP already on scene, so they may have called out the fire department as a precautionary measure. In Pajaro, San Juan Road at Porter Drive, a two-vehicle crash being reported there. That first report at just about 4:45, and apparently that's in the clearing stages. Santa Cruz, southbound 1 to Morrissey Boulevard, on and off ramp, shut down 24 hours a day through May 1st. This report brought to you by Blue Blocker Sunglasses. Get your Blue Blocker Sunglasses at Walgreens. Get full UV protection while you see clear and sharper. Blue Blocker, America's favorite for over 20 years. Pick your Blue Blocker style at Walgreens today. That's traffic on KRXA.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, rocking you down the highway on your way home today. Put the top down. Roll back that moonroof. We'll be right back. the Peter B. Collins Show, a guest we've been angling for a while. He's Mike Thompson, Democratic congressman from Northern California, represents Eureka all the way down to Santa Rosa, I think. It's a huge, sprawling district. But I want to thank our listeners in Eureka who have been putting a little pressure on there to encourage him to join us on the program. So tomorrow, 3:30 Pacific time, Democrat Mike Thompson, he's a Blue Dog Democrat. He voted against the war, and there are some of our listeners who are puzzled about exactly what his current position is about getting America out of Iraq. So we'll open it up and let him explain and let you ask him. That's tomorrow from 3:30 to 4 here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Also, as you call the program today, you'll hear a new voice answering the phone. That's Katrina Rill, a most able producer who is the new producer here at the Peter B. Collins Show. Matt Renner, as you may have heard, has a new job over at truthout.org. He's a reporter and assistant editor there, and I'm really delighted for him, and it's a reunion for Katrina and me, so it's a win-win situation, and when you call, be sure to give her a greeting. 888-5 Peter B is the number. Billy in Capitola, Billy Sunshine joins us. Hey, Billy.
Hey, buddy.
Thanks for the sunshine, man.
Hey, it's beautiful down here today. You're like unbelievable, 82 degrees.
Yeah, yeah. You know, my my cell phone reminded me of the time change yesterday and said, do you want to change your clock? I said, yes. And then it said, welcome to summertime.
Oh, yeah, man. How did they know?
I don't know.
Hey, you know, your Northern California viewers, the Eureka guys, they just sound like great activists, by the way.
A lot of great people up there. Yeah. And, you know, David Cobb, the Green Party presidential candidate, who helped us investigate the stolen election in Ohio in 2004, is a resident of, I think, Arcata, and tunes into the show once in a while, too.
I just wanted to tip our hats down here in Monterey County to those guys. They sound great.
Yeah. Well, good. And let's send them some sunscreen, too.
Yeah, really. So, you know, this story about Halliburton is just so thick and chumming the waters. Got me going, I'll tell you.
Well, we have dispatched Tommy Panic at great expense to Dubai, and we hope to have a report in the next day or two.
Well, are they already there, or can we have a citizen's arrest and stop these criminals? Because Ben is right. I mean, you know, the fact is that, let's see, here's the timeline. George Soros, remember this?
Mm-hmm.
Buys 2 million shares of Halliburton.
I do remember that, yeah.
So now he's got the books, he can see the criminality of these guys, plus he knows about the backdating of the stock options for Cheney. They're all going to jail unless they move and lose and start shredding. And isn't that what's going on?
Hmm. I'm not sure. I really think that they are so well positioned and well defended with friends in the highest places that I would actually ascribe views, you know, or motives of greed and worldwide corporate domination.
Just a tax dodge.
Before I would suggest that they actually are feeling the heat.
Just a tax dodge is what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah, and also they want to be closer to their core business associates.
Does Dubai extradite criminals?
I don't know.
I'll bet they don't.
All right, let's have somebody look into that, and I welcome your call to explain it.
Thanks, buddy.
Okay, Billy, thanks for the call today. And next we go to Robert, listening online in North Carolina. Hello, Robert.
Yes, hello, Peter B. Collins.
How's it going?
Just fine. I discovered the program looking for Mike Malloy.
Well, I'm glad you found us. And tell us, we're basking in summertime weather here in California today. What's it like in North Carolina?
It's getting springtime here.
All right.
It's been very pleasant.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm going to kind of change the subject here. You've been talking about a number of important issues, but I was listening to what I could discover about Hugo Chavez of Venezuela.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he seems to be saying a whole lot that addresses everything. And I guess I just wish you would check in on him now and then.
Mm-hmm.
He gave a speech in Argentina.
That's right. Today
that
to welcome the gringo to the to the neighborhood.
he says the guy is so small he can't even smell him anymore. You know, and that's I tried to email and I couldn't really find it, and I just had to get offline because that's the only way I can listen to you and get offline and bring that up. Because,
well, Robert, first of all, I appreciate it, and we have followed Hugo Chavez and the attempts by the Bush administration to assassinate him a few years ago. We covered the election where did you know that Mark Penn, who is the pollster, was for Bill Clinton and is now for Hillary Clinton, he served as a pollster to the corporate opponent who took on Chavez at the behest of the, you know, the money people in Venezuela this past year. We also had a reporter on from Newsday, it would have been 3, maybe 4 weeks ago, who talked about some of the, he's working on a book about Chavez, and he kind of compared the coverage in the United States, which caricatures him, to some of the, you know, realities of what's going on in Venezuela. And I regard him as somebody that Americans need to listen to, even when he's saying things that we dislike.
Well, I imagine his name is pure poison in this country. One of the things that he said that struck me most, and I think applies mostly to the other issues we've been talking about, is he said that privatization is over in Venezuela.
Mm-hmm.
And privatization seems to be from the war in Iraq right down to the prisons and people who are being snatched for whatever reason, for terrorism or illegal aliens or whatever, that's apparently a big part of the problem.
Well, but what he's doing is taking private industry and nationalizing them. And we use privatization to outsource things and to let corporations control governments or territory. So they are different concepts, even if they sometimes fall under the same nomenclature. Robert, thanks for the call from the East Coast today. More coming up here in the Free Speech Zone. Their line's open. Call me at 888-5-PETER-B. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience, who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. from Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, PattyRossCarmel.com.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance. Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
The airways belong to the people. That's what they taught me back there in college. The Communications Act of 1934 said that radio stations were licensed to companies to serve the public interest, convenience, and necessity. And today, most talk radio stations deliver an unrelenting wave after wave of conservative talk programs. As promised, I want to give you a little update on a confab that I attended, the talk radio seminar in Southern California on Friday. And we'll get to your calls. If you're on the line, don't hang up. We'll get to you here in just a couple of minutes. But I wanted to give you a sense of where things are. Because when Air America arrived on the scene a few years ago, progressives who've been locked out of the media for many years took hope. And unfortunately, Air America was not well operated, wasn't a great business plan, and in my view, suffered because they didn't have very many real radio veterans involved. Well, at last week's confab, Tom Hartman was there. He's now the new main star of Air America, having replaced Al Franken. And just last week, the bankruptcy process finally ended as Stephen Green purchased Air America's assets, and it's unclear exactly what they plan to do and how they will attempt to rebuild Air America. And Air America is still, you know, a major force despite its financial problems and the setbacks they've had. Ed Schultz, Stephanie Miller, Bill Press, and to, you know, a lesser extent, yours truly, represent the non-aligned, the independent progressive voices who are not part of Air America. While many of our programs have been on Air America stations, and there's some consumer-level confusion about that. But what struck me at this conference is the layers of right-wing hosts that many progressives have very little knowledge of. Have you ever heard of Rusty Humphreys? He's a conservative from Orlando. He's on over 225 radio stations. Have you ever heard of Jerry Doyle? Probably not. Jerry's a right-winger who at this conference acknowledged that his mother's a liberal who can't stand his show. Jerry's a clever guy. Seems to be a, you know, good radio person. He's now on 240 radio stations. Michael Savage claims 300 radio stations. Laura Ingraham claims 325 to 350 radio stations. Now, you couple that with the top dogs, Rush Limbaugh, 600 stations, Sean Hannity in the 500 range, and you see how pervasive, conservative, reactionary talk is in this industry. And what was interesting and at the same time difficult to swallow was the presentations at this conference by the executives who program these radio stations, the conservative ones. And suffice it to say that they're doing well enough in the ratings and making enough money that they see absolutely no need to moderate their approach or even, for example, to permit a dangerous lefty like me or Tom Hartman onto a station that also carries a Rush or a Sean or one of those other programs. They have locked out non-conservative voices because they've figured out how to take a small audience and get them to listen to the same, you know, viewpoints presented by different hosts over the course of a 9 or 12 hour broadcast day. And in, let's see, 2004, a survey was conducted that showed that the ratio of conservative programming about politics to non-conservative, which includes middle-of-the-road, liberal, far-left, and way out there, what little there is, that ratio was 14 conservative to every one non-conservative. And for the most part, that ratio remains unchanged. And the broadcast industry, led by Clear Channel, ABC, CBS, companies like Entercom, they look at the Air America experiment and they kind of shrug their shoulders and say, nice try. So I'd like you to know that we will remain the underdog. And what is just so, you know, it steams me, is that the right-wingers still believe that the mainstream media is liberal and that they are somehow offsetting that. Here's this ad that I referenced earlier in the show today, a double truck ad with Rush Limbaugh. And it's a very simple ad. It reads, America's Truth Detector. Now, I'm sorry, Rush Limbaugh is a lot of things. He's the big fat idiot that Al Franken wrote about. He's a very effective right-wing spinmeister. But to claim that he is a truth detector, that is Orwellian. And this kind of posing and positioning is endemic in the conservative talk radio business. They take no judgments about Michael Savage and the hateful rhetoric that he spews on a regular basis. They look at Ann Coulter and say, wow, isn't she getting attention? Can we get her on one of our shows? They take no position about the damage to our country that's been done by the Bush administration, egged on by the cheerleaders in right-wing talk radio. Because they're making money. And they rationalize it as, hey, it's just entertainment. You know, people don't have to believe Rush. They just like to listen to him. Bottom line, the rest of us have a lot of work cut out for us. And it's going to take a long time to try to correct the course, particularly of radio broadcasting in this country. We're doing our part. We're doing our best. And frankly, some of our alleged friends, progressive people in the radio business, like our former friends in Phoenix, leave a great deal to be desired and are partly responsible for the failures of Air America that the conservative suits say, see, can't win in the marketplace. There isn't that much demand for liberal talk. Well, I disagree. But until we can generate the ratings and the revenues and the momentum to really challenge them at a business level, I'm afraid we will remain the also-rans. So that's my little report on the talk radio confab in Southern California last week. Let's return to your phone calls at 888-5-PETER-B. Harry, thanks for holding on. Harry in Oregon joins us.
Hi, Peter B. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, you're welcome.
What you were talking about, you know, hits the nail right on the head. What I'm calling about is kind of a buzzword I've created, the commercialization. I don't know if the word actually has lies in it, but, you know, what I see going on in the world, you know, with Ford Company. I'm going way back with Ford Company, creating a market for cars. De Beers, diamonds, creating a market for diamonds. You know, all these, you know, Halliburton and their oil dealings, creating a market for racing, you know, getting people, manipulating people. You know, dadgummit, you know. I hope people will start to see this, and you know, that's the only way that I can see to stop them, you know, other than, you know, with Congress and whatnot, is to hit them in the pocketbook, you know, as hard as you can. Don't buy their garbage, you know, whatever it is. And that's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
All right, Harry, you said it well, and you are correct. One of the issues that we deal with, whether it is the awful stuff that passes for news on television these days, like, you know, To Catch a Predator, or the mindless distractions offered by so-called reality shows from Survivor to American Idol and on down the line. They have your number. They've done extensive market research in collusion with the advertisers and the, you know, makers of consumer products. And they will continue to do what they do as long as you watch it, as long as you listen to it. And if you stop, if we stop, they'll pull the plug on that and they'll do something else. Maybe something worse. We can't expect them to develop good taste and good judgment overnight. But there's a fundamental responsibility that each and every one of us has. That when we watch that crap, it encourages them to do more of the same. Peter V., you're next on the Peter B. Collins Show. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Collins. I have two quick points. The PBA plastics exam that you had today was gut-wrenching.
Yeah.
That's particularly the knowingly and willingly part of the corporations that you mentioned pushing their poison.
In case people didn't hear it, there is a component of plastics called bisphenol A that reportedly it contains estrogen, the female hormone. And in heated baby bottles, sippy cups, binkies, pacifiers, this is released from the plastic compound, and it is absorbed by the child using that product. And the attorney we had on has reported severe health consequences for these children as they grow up. And, you know, this is the first I've heard about it, Peter. It is stunning that corporate America in this day and age would operate in such an amoral and evil way.
I couldn't agree more, Peter. As I was listening to it, it was absolutely informative, myself having not heard that. It was just that sickening feeling in my stomach of these corporations putting their profitability ahead of anything that could even remotely be called moral or reasonable or even sensible. And my only consolation to all of it, Peter, is that I believe that sexual dysfunctionality that it creates would go a long ways to explaining Rush and Ann Coulter. What do you think?
Well, I was at this little cocktail party on a Friday evening that was hosted by the syndication company that brings us great radio by Limbaugh, Dr. Laura, a bunch of other wretched characters. And they served me a drink that they had renamed a Rush Tie. It was a Mai Tai. And as it was delivered to me, I turned to the guy standing next to me who works for Premier, the syndicator of those programs, and I said, hey, can I get an OxyContin chaser with that? And he either didn't get it or was so offended that it stunned him into silence.
And, Peter, my last point was, you brought up the movie Thanks for Smoking, which I want to highly, highly recommend to all of your listeners. Do you remember the Scooter Libby moment in the movie when the lead actor, the tobacco lobbyist, was explaining to his son what makes this country great?
Well, replay it for us. It's not tip of my mind.
He called it the endless appeals process.
Yep.
Thank you, Peter.
Just get more lawyers and you can slow it down. Thanks for the call, Peter. More coming up in just a moment. One line available at 888-5, Peter B., 888-573-8372. We'll continue right after this, this, and this on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium. Or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
One Day Income Tax Service, family-owned and operated since 1944, specializes in year-round professional tax preparation. Do you want your refund quickly? Stop by One Day Income Tax Service. They offer tax preparation at reasonable rates and work to meet the needs of military families with the capacity to process all out-of-state returns. If you prefer to prepare your own return at home, they can help you expedite your refund by filing your return electronically. Let One Day Income Tax Service assist you with your return and maximize your refund. Stop by 885 Broadway Avenue in Seaside, where no appointment is necessary. Looking for quick, professional, and reasonable tax return preparation? Visit One Day Income Tax Service, 885 Broadway Avenue, Seaside, or call 394-8010. That's 831-394-8010. One Day Income Tax Service, where you walk in with a copy of your most recent tax return, personal ID, and W-2 1099 info for 2006, and you walk out with your completed tax return.
And let's take a look at traffic and get you home safely tonight. Well, here's the very latest from CHP. CHP telling us that we have a problem in Pajaro. This would be San Juan Road at Porter Drive. We have a two-vehicle fender bender there. CHP is, in fact, on scene. Other than that, things looking pretty good. Let's at least hit you with some a little bit of construction. Santa Cruz Highway 1 southbound. Ramp to Morrissey Boulevard, the on and off ramps shut down. That's 24 hours a day through May 1st. A little bit of slow traffic being reported on southbound 1 between Monterey and Carmel, just in pockets. It really picks up pretty nicely, to be honest with you, so don't get too concerned about that. Other than that, Highway 17 looking good. No problems to report in either direction. This report brought to you by Office Depot. Now at Office Depot, get a coupon for $5 off a $10 purchase of full-service black and white color copies. Office.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show on this summer Monday in the springtime of 07. Glad you're listening wherever you happen to be. Eureka, Arcata, Coos Bay, Oregon, or the central coast of California.
Been watching you for days now, baby.
And special shout-out to our online listeners, including fine folks in Phoenix, Arizona.
Stop now, baby. Just put your love in my box now, baby. Wrap it up. I'll take it.
All right, we'll wrap it up, but first, I got some callers to talk to. If you're on hold, stay there. We'll try to get to you. Let's see. Up next, it's Chris and Salinas. Welcome, Chris.
How are you doing, Peter?
Not too bad, thanks.
Oh, it's a beautiful day here in Monterey.
It is, yeah.
Hey, I wanted to say that if they were to break up these media conglomerates, there would be more opportunity for independent owners of radio stations. And if there were more independent owners of radio stations like Hal and others that you broadcast from,
right,
then we would have more liberal talk on the radio. Because I know that when you have one company that has a certain agenda and they own 600 stations, well, you're going to have that 600 of the same idea.
Well, you make a good point. And let me offer two comments, both about Clear Channel, a company that amassed a total of 1,200 radio stations. They are now in the process of a leverage buyout to take the company private, and some issues have arisen. Some of the shareholders are objecting, so it may not actually go through. But as part of that, they are unloading over 400 radio stations. It is a very clear and loud message from Wall Street that bigger is not better. And so in order to survive this next round, Clear Channel is shedding all of its TV stations, all of its small and medium market radio stations, and it will be a much different company. The other element about Clear Channel in the news today is that the Federal Communications Commission rejected challenges to license renewals of two Clear Channel stations in Sacramento, both of which are exclusively conservative talk formats. The challengers had said that this is too much, that this is an abuse of their right to license these facilities. And the commission said, get out of here. Money talks. They own the licenses. They can put anything on that they want. And that begs for some return of a modified version of the Fairness Doctrine.
Did you get my email on the small town papers being bought out?
I did. And you know what that parallels is the funeral parlors. You know, there are companies that have bought up all the funeral homes across America. And what you, the article you sent showed that one big, I guess it's a hedge fund, has been buying up as many small town papers as possible. Not a good sign.
Nope. You take it easy, Peter, and keep up the good work.
I'll do it, Chris, and likewise to you. Jake and Arcata, you're next. Welcome to the Peter B. Show.
Hey, Peter B., how's it going?
Good.
I'd like to talk about the corrupt Bush administration. You know, of course, Scooter Libby.
What, you think we got all day?
Yeah, that would take about all year, probably. No, I can't believe these Republicans are actually suggesting that Scooter Libby needs to be pardoned. You know, last time I checked, weren't the Republicans opposed to perjury and obstruction of justice? Didn't they impeach Bill Clinton because he lied about an extramarital affair?
Yeah.
Yeah, but Scooter Libby needs to be pardoned, and we don't need to look any further into how we got into this war.
Jake,
the Republican Party.
Jake, 9/11 changed everything.
That's right. We no longer have the ability to ask any questions of our government, as long as the president is a Republican.
That's right.
You know, it's interesting the double standard the Republican Party uses. They basically feel it's okay for Newt Gingrich to have sex with his intern, divorce his wife, you know, while she's suffering cancer.
Hey, did you hear he confessed that to James Dobson on Friday?
Yeah, it's interesting that it's considered a confession. Didn't that come out in the divorce trial, like, damn near 10 years ago? I mean,
it's been public knowledge for a long time, and he has never acknowledged it. And he went, into confessional mode with Dobson and said, yep, while we were impeaching Clinton for the Monica thing, I was having an affair with a member of my staff.
Yeah.
Well, apparently this is all the, mea culpa he needs, and they'll clear him to run for president.
Well, you know, these right-wing Republicans are such hypocrites, they appear to be ready to support Rudy Giuliani, who's pro-gay rights, pro-choice, and what, he's in his third marriage now, and the last wife, Donna Hanover, he announced in a press conference that he was going to divorce her before he even told his wife that he was going to divorce her. That's the kind of family man Rudy Giuliani is.
Come on, he wanted to share the good news with everybody at once.
And the fact that he moved his mistress in to the mayor's mansion in New York City while he was still married to his second wife. I mean, this is a sleazebag. Gingrich, Giuliani, these guys are just unbelievable. I mean, how in the hell is the Republican Party even for a second going to think the American public would vote for either of those fools?
Thank you, Jake.
Thanks, Peter.
Katrina Real, our brand-new producer who just joined us here today, just sent me a link to thenation.com where the forthcoming issue of The Nation's cover shows Dick Cheney with a puppet-sized version of Scooter Libby, the Charlie McCarthy, on his lap. Very nice stuff. I enjoy that. Deborah in Phoenix, great to hear from you. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter.
Hello, Deborah.
Still listening on the computer.
I'm glad.
God, there's so much to talk about. Where do I start?
I don't know. You got 2 minutes.
Oh, God. Okay, I'll pick a subject that's near and dear to my heart. When I heard your program on the plastics,
yeah,
are dangerous to the public and people don't know about it, my big thing is pesticides.
Mm-hmm.
Here in Phoenix, they spray constantly for the West Nile virus, and thank God I found a homeopathic doctor that I can detox when I wake up violently ill from this stuff.
Ooh.
And a whole committee of medical doctors tried to get the city to quit spraying this stuff, and they just kept on doing it. And it's horrible. It is the only thing that makes me sick anymore. And I'll just wake up in the morning just violently ill because,
mm-hmm,
of these pesticides.
Yeah.
And I just think of all these people who do not feel well, and they don't know why. I mean, it's in the air. They did studies where even if they sprayed it at one side of the city,
mm-hmm,
it'll eventually scatter throughout the entire city.
Yeah.
And there are so many studies that need to be done on this stuff.
I just want to tell people about a great website run by a nonprofit called the Pesticide Action Network North America, and it's PANA, PANNA.org, and you can get more information there. They do a great job and try to help warn people about some of these developing threats.
Right, right, and people just don't even know about it.
Yeah.
And regular medicine won't even help. Imitrex won't even help. So it's pretty scary.
Yeah. Well, and you also have to worry about, treating a chemical reaction with a pharmaceutical product and wonder long-term what that's going to do to your body.
That's right. Right, that's right. Anyway. And, of course, insurance doesn't pay for any of this stuff.
Right.
The only thing that works.
Yeah, but, some plans cover Viagra, but, of course, not contraceptives for women.
Right, right.
All right, Deborah. Well, thanks for checking in today, and I'm glad you're listening online. Spread the word in Phoenix about how to do it, okay?
Oh, I do all the time.
Real good. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Steve in Watsonville, you get the last word on the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Peter, I want to agree with Ben that we need to boycott anybody that didn't carry the Halliburton carpet bagging to the UAE as their top story. And I want to ask you, are you personally responsible for the KRXA motto, think for yourself?
Yeah, I think so.
Now, how come CBS in San Francisco uses the same motto, and CBS is the news that is going to come up right about now?
Well, I'll better sue him. Thank you, Steve.
Yeah.
I'm Peter B. Collins. We'll do this again tomorrow. Join me.
The days of wine and roses.
The fastest growing disease in America is addiction. It's time we talk about it openly. This is Sheila Gale. Join me Saturday afternoons from 4 to 5 for 12-Step Talk Uncensored, where we deal with addiction. It's about time.
That wasn't there before.
It's time to start talking about the 2008 presidential elections. Here, Monday nights between 10 and 11 p.m. with your host, me, Todd Hurlbert, Alan Vasquez, and our show, The Week in Politics. We will talk about and talk with the Democratic and Republican candidates for the presidential election. Please join us in our effort to educate our audience about the issues. See you there.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. A third Army official has lost his job over the Walter Reed patient care scandal. CBS News correspondent David Martin reports.
Army Surgeon General Kevin Kiley, perhaps more responsible than anyone for conditions at Army hospitals, was finally forced into retirement. Coming 3 weeks after the revelations of shoddy care at Walter Reed, the wonder is why it took so long, especially when he continued to downplay the problems and said dilapidated conditions in the building where outpatients lived were not his responsibility.
While reforming military health care has become priority one, researchers say the military needs to pay more attention to mental health care. A study found that nearly a third of the soldiers seeking government health care after returning from Iraq and Afghanistan are diagnosed with a mental problem. A marimba band played Stars and Stripes Forever as President Bush visited Guatemala today. He was there to promote the benefits of free trade and to encourage a crackdown on that country's violent drug gangs. The final stop of the Latin America tour is Mexico.
Immigration will take center stage in the president's talks with Mexican President Calderon. Mr. Bush will talk up his own immigration reform plan, including a guest worker program.
We don't want people to feel like they have to get stuffed into the back of a truck and pay exorbitant fees to coyotes to come and try to realize dreams. There's got to be a better system.
And the president wants Congress to pass immigration reform by August, but he concedes his own party's differences could be a roadblock. Peter Mayer, CBS News, Guatemala City.
82-year-old former President Bush carried on with his travel schedule today after a brief setback in Palm Springs, California. He fainted while playing golf in 94-degree heat. Mr. Bush spent the night at Eisenhower Medical Center as a precaution. He's said to be fine now. Last week, postal inspectors displayed packages used by the domestic terrorist who calls himself the Bishop, hoping someone would recognize the handwriting. Now officials say they're chasing 13 new leads. The Bishop has sent at least 15 threatening letters and two dud bombs to the offices of financial services companies. The legends of rock, some of them anyway, are gathered in New York tonight.
The Hall of Fame induction ceremonies are just getting underway with a performance by the Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin, paying tribute to the founder of her record label, the late Ahmet Erdogan. Music history will be made when Grandmaster